Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, July 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police say a man shot and killed his wife and their three children before turning the gun on himself in Price's Corner, Delaware. 42-year-old Matthew Edwards, his wife, 41-year-old Julie Burton Edwards, and their children, 6-year-old Jacob, 4-year-old Brinley, and 3-year-old Paxton, were found shot to death in the second floor of their home. Police say Matthew Edwards died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and the deaths have been ruled a murder-suicide. So this was the story that we were talking about yesterday morning. We weren't sure. Police were called about 8 o'clock Monday to the home on the 2700 block of Ferris Road. A longtime neighbor who wished to remain anonymous spoke to 6ABC and said that he spoke to Matthew on Sunday. He said that the father of three had been emotional about work and marital issues. The neighbor consoled him and told Matthew to just worry about your kids. On Julie Edwards' social media accounts in recent days, there were signs of joy and celebration for the family. Julie recently posted that Jacob, who has Williams syndrome, celebrated a 5-year anniversary of successful open heart surgery. She also posted a video of the kids playing in the backyard. Neighbors say that they are completely shocked. They say Julie was a good mother, and they often saw Matthew playing in the yard with the kids. One neighbor who had become friends with Julie over the past 6 years explained that Julie was very active as a volunteer for the national organization, the Williams Syndrome Association, obviously because of her son. She said Matthew Edwards always seemed to be a very nice, laid-back guy, but that his job kept him out of town quite a bit, and lately Julie indicated that there was some kind of strain on their marriage. Julie recently lost a lot of weight, 50 to 60 pounds. Her friend said that she worked really hard. She was eating right, getting up with the kids, going to the park, and she says she doesn't think that Matthew was happy about that. Still, police are asking if anyone has information about the incident to contact the Delaware State Police Homicide Unit.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, terrible.
Hard to wrap your mind around.
And the picture of the wife and the three
and
adorable
kids.
I know. So sad.
They had video footage, I guess it was from her Facebook page, of the kids in an inflatable pool. Mm. Just having a wonderful time.
I can't watch it. I won't. I looked up in the, and I don't want to look at the screen. I just don't want to do it. Like, it just, it breaks my heart.
And you know what I thought when I saw the picture? I'm like, he couldn't have done them all at the same time. So somebody witnessed something.
Sure.
You know, before they were all gone.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. The poor little things. Yeah. The dramatic 3-day rescue of a Thai youth soccer team that had been stuck in a flooded cave came to an end Tuesday when the last boy and the team's coach were plucked from the underground cavern more than 2 weeks after they became trapped, Navy officials said. The Thai Navy SEALs said all 12 boys from the team and the team's coach were out of the cave. 4 rescuers, a doctor, and 3 Navy SEALs remained inside until coming out of the cave 2 hours later.
So wait, they weren't American Navy SEALs? They were Thai Navy SEALs?
Yeah, correct.
Aw, I don't think they should call themselves something different other than Navy SEALs. That's ours, right?
No,
are you guys with me on that one?
No. It stands for sea, air, and land, so
you what, can I call you back tomorrow on that?
Yes. Yeah.
Tuesday's intricate...
Otters. Yeah.
That'd be better?
That's better.
Otters? Okay.
That's better.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of another cute aquatic animal.
What? I kind of like otters better for us. They can have seals. We'll take otters.
Right. Tuesday's intricate and high-risk operation began just after 10 a.m. and involved 19 divers. Cheers and applause were reported in the streets as the final ambulance arrived at the hospital. The boys' families were being kept at a distance at a hospital because of fears of infection and that the emaciated-looking boys were eating a rice-based porridge because they were still too weak to eat regular food, authorities said.
It's very cool because they're all going to celebrate and they plan on going mountain climbing.
No, stop. Stop it. Stop.
Really wonderful.
two of the boys possibly have a lung infection, but are all generally healthy and smiling. Doctors are expecting to keep the boys in the hospital for at least 7 days. They said that there are no complications with the boys' eyesight despite spending multiple days in the dark. I never even thought that that could be an issue.
Well, of course, it starts to screw with your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Quick question, has it been reviewed or has anybody suggested a review as to why the adult would take them this far into the cave?
I watched a little bit of the 2020 special last night, and he was the assistant coach.
Okay.
And apparently the coach
they
of the team...
They can be more reckless.
Well, no, but the coach of the team, the assistant coach was a little bit younger. The coach of the team didn't know that they were there. And they would often do these type of, you know, explorations after practice. And apparently that this assistant coach had taken them there before. So this wasn't the first time that they gone through this cave. But now the coach said that he was unaware that they were even going. It was was a 45-minute bike ride for them. So after practice, they all got on their bikes. They drove the bikes, which is why rescuers knew that they were inside, because their bikes and their soccer cleats were left outside of the cave.
Well, thank God that was there. Yeah.
Well, growing up in Missouri, Missouri has more caves than any state in the country. And so we did. There were a few times where we went on, like I went to summer camp and we went cave exploring. And you go in and... At some point, they'd say, okay, we can go into this other room, but it's really tight squeezes. Who wants to go? Who doesn't want to go? And I was like, I'm going anywhere, man. I'm staying in here. So so me and three or four people stayed back where they went and crawl through and go through these little areas and stuff.
Now give me the dynamite.
Right, exactly.
No, and there were two.
Would you be miles in, though?
Oh, not miles.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would imagine... I couldn't even tell.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
There were two boys that didn't go, and 2020 was speaking with them. They had gone in the past because this was not something, you know, this wasn't the first time they had done this. So they were talking to them and asking about them, you know, going, but they just had decided that day not to go.
Did they feel guilty for not making the trip with their teammates?
You know, I mean, no, I didn't really get that. They're kids, you know, they were kind of just sitting down. They looked a little nervous, you know, with the TV cameras and stuff like that.
They were just happy to be on 2020.
They were just, you know, answering their questions.
Did you guys ever see the movie about the Chilean miners?
Yes. I did. I liked it a lot.
I watched it a few times. It's really well done. I think this is definitely poised for a movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we'll see that soon. A man who was 17 when he murdered his grandparents in their Warrington Township home in 1986 was resentenced last week to serve 45 years to life in prison. 50-year-old Richard Mazzeffo, who reportedly laughed when his life sentence was pronounced 32 years ago, showed no reaction when Bucks County Common Pleas Court Judge Rhea Boylan imposed the new sentence on July 3rd. The new sentence will make him eligible for parole in 13 years. The proceedings made him the fifth of six inmates from Bucks County serving mandatory life sentences for murders committed as juveniles to receive adjusted punishments. Each has received a reduction from Boylan that will give them a chance later in life to be paroled into the community. Such proceedings are being held throughout Pennsylvania as a result of a recent federal and state court decisions. Those decisions declared mandatory life sentences for juveniles to be unconstitutional, requiring new hearings to reconsider those sentences. Mazzeffo told Boylan that he is a different person from the angry teenager who committed acts he called cruel, selfish, and heartless. He has the rare distinction of no misconducts in his 32 years behind bars, having spent much of his time reading nonfiction, playing chess, and working in the prison library. He says that he hopes to leave a post-release legacy for something other than his crimes. And I read a little bit about what he did. It was like, it was brutal. I mean, he was
really?
And basically when they asked him why he did it, he was just kind of like, hey, the 17 years that I've lived have been hard. And that was like pretty much that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much his explanation. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Phillies beat the Mets last night in Queens and are now in sole possession of first place in the National League East. Prospect Eniel De Los Santos won his Major League debut, and the Phils got home runs for Michael Franco, Odubel Herrera in a 7-3 victory over the Mets. Franco drove in four runs as the Phils won for the 10th time in 13 games and are a game up on the Atlanta Braves, who lost to the Toronto Blue Jays last night. The series against the Mets wraps up tonight. Vince Velasquez gets the start. Game time is at 7:10. Georgia police and the NFL are investigating a home invasion at a house owned by former Eagles running back LeSean McCoy, in which his estranged girlfriend was allegedly beaten and robbed of jewelry. Police in the Atlanta suburb of Milton said they are investigating the incident and have not named any suspects. McCoy, who has been training in Miami this summer, denied accusations made on social media by a friend of the victim that he was responsible for her injuries and said he has not had direct contact with her in months. Attorneys for the victim released a statement saying Corden was sleeping in the home when a male assailant entered the house and demanded specific items of jewelry that she had been given by McCoy. According to the attorney, there were no signs of forced entry. The French have reached the World Cup final for a third time in six tournaments. It will be Team France's first final since 2006 after they beat Belgium 1-0. Thanks to a goal from Samuel Umtiti in the 51st minute at the match in St. Petersburg. In today's other semifinal match, England will play Croatia, and the winner will advance to play the French in the finals on Sunday in Moscow. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much. I tip my coffee cup to all of you.
Game of Thrones coffee mug.
Yes, I need this terribly bad today.
I'm dealing with issues over here.
What's wrong, man?
What's wrong? In your world. My instant replay over here that has some of my best farts has been rendered incapacitated.
All right, I may have sabotaged an issue. It.
Yes. An instant replay is a sound effect unit that Steve has here, and some of your favorite farts. Is that like the little squeaky ones
and
stuff?
The dribblies, the squeakies, man. Hey, where did that come from? All those farts are contained on this unit.
Oh, darn.
So I'm going to keep...
I just heard it when you unplugged
well,
it.
Well, yeah.
All right, so.
Let's see if we can get it again. Let it sit for a few minutes.
I'm feeling your pain.
I know. I'll come through it, though. I'm a hero.
Yeah, we have a lot to get to today. I want to tell you first about a secret text word. We do this on Wednesday mornings. Chance for you to win tickets to see Evanescence with Lindsey Stirling, BB&T Pavilion, coming up on July 17th. And you just got a text word secret to 39333. We'll send a word back to you. Ask you to call in later on, designated caller wins, and we'll also do a random texter from the pool of texts that we get for that as well. So get yourself set for that. A reminder that we have our first appearance opportunity for you to win a trip to London with us as we broadcast live. It's a few days away. It's 9 days out, July 20th, but I want to make sure that you're aware of it. Marissa Magnata will be with the MM Army at Xfinity Live from 5 to 7 p.m. Like I said, July 20th, and get yourself ready because it's Miller Lite London Calling with the Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. We have a bit of an announcement about something that we want to execute, and I will give you those details a little bit later on this morning, so stand by for that. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day today, and I know I'm leaving something
out. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, we're getting ready for the Belly Flop. It's a week from tomorrow at the Valley Beach Poolside, Valley Forge Casino Resort.
Did we announce something concerning the Philly's Hottest? Extension-wise?
We haven't announced anything about that yet, okay, but we're still looking for Philly's Hottest, and you can send those pictures in to us. Yeah, we are extending the deadline.
So all right.
It was reported as today, but it's going to be moving on. So the winner gets $1,000 cash and over $1,000 in jewelry and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers and a professional photo shoot from Allison Dunlap Photography. You have to be at least 18 years of age or older, but we are in prime. We are in the meat of swimsuit weather right now. So take your pictures and send them to us, please.
I was on a hike yesterday, and there were people wearing their swimsuits. It was just hiking along and hopping in the creek. They're all out there. Just take a picture and send it in. You could win.
Yep, absolutely. So we have those things and more taking place this morning. Let's go ahead, take ourselves a break, come back in a moment. Some entertainment reports. Pretty wild accident that George Clooney was involved in.
Yeah.
There's video of it, too. I'll get to the details and more when we come back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Steven makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I like the word nestled.
Nestled
in there. All right, like drizzle. Let me see here. It is like drizzle. You're right. So we're going to do a stupid question. And I'm sorry. I just pulled this out of my stack of questions. So
those are always the best, though. You know that, don't you? That when you just pull them out of your proverbial butt, that's when they're the best questions.
Okay. How about this? I don't like
doing. See, now you're thinking too hard. Well, now it's going to stink.
I don't like doing multiple choice questions.
All right.
So I'll go with a pretty easy one. And by the way, we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway July 20th and 21st. What continent are sloths native to?
Oh. That's a good one. 215-263-WMMR. My niece loves sloths.
Really?
She's
one. This morning on the President's C-Shop, broadcaster Kathy Romano revealed her niece loves sloths.
No, but that's bizarre for a one-year-old to love that. She has stuffed animals.
It's an exotic animal to love. Yeah. I agree. It's like a platypus.
Yeah. You remember Kristen Bell
yes.
has a fascination with sloths.
In fact, she broke into tears.
Dax Shepard had a zoo bring her one to their home, and she started crying when she saw it because she was so happy.
I think it has to do something with her having actually a stuffed animal as a girl, little
Did
girl,
really?
That and it elicited a great feeling of warmth and comfort, you know, and those yeah. huge claws ripping through your throat well, really
yeah,
helped too.
Yeah, you think like princess, something pink and
yeah. No, she likes a sloth. Yeah.
So what continent are they native to? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll do some birthdays while we're waiting for your call. Wednesday, July 11th is the date. It is Richie Sambora's birthday today. Richie of Bon Jovi. Recently reunited at the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. I have not watched it yet. And
I haven't seen that one. I want to see it.
Yeah, and I'd like to see how what kind of chemistry those two guys have as they're up there doing their speeches and performing as well.
Apparently it was good. And yeah. I was talking to Pierre, who said the vibe was all good, but no one seems to have any belief that they're going to reconstitute as the original Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that's what yeah. I picked up as well. It seemed that everybody was civil and cool and nice to each other, but it's pretty much done. So,
yeah. Kind of sucks.
But Richie is celebrating his 59th birthday. He's a great guitar player, man. He was a really, really big part of that band, I thought.
So. He was in here and performed a song from his solo album that I thought was really good.
Yeah.
But it's hard these days to get stuff like that to get any traction.
Mm-hmm. 59 years old today. So more people that have been in our studio this morning, including Richie, that celebrate birthdays today. Actor Bruce McGill.
Yeah.
Who you know from Animal House, D-Day in Animal House. And then he has gone on to do a ton of different performances. And I didn't know for the longest time, like, until he was coming in to visit us, like he was the sheriff in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
And he's just played in tons of roles throughout the years, and I didn't know that was D-Day.
He was in three separate movies my wife and I watched over the weekend.
Oh,
and
really?
I pointed out, you know who that is, right? That's from Animal House, you know. Oh. What? Really? Yeah. But yes, he is that. His body of work is huge, and he's got the perfect gig. He is a character actor
yeah.
that gets the job done.
He'll keep working. He's yeah. in Lincoln, for crying
yes.
out loud.
He plays Mary Todd.
No, he plays one of his cabinet members. He doesn't play Mary Todd. That's Sally Field. God, he looked yeah. just like Sally
Your
Field.
Beard hurts me when I kiss you. I believe we had him in to promote the movie Law Abiding Citizen, which I enjoy. It's not the best movie, but
it's
a
junk food movie, but he's good in it.
Yeah. But I didn't realize how short he was until we had him in studio.
But
he just kind of has like an imposing face.
Do we have the audio? Do we have him doing
We have it from Animal House.
That's fine.
All right.
You know. Oh, Larry, good. I see you've met D-Day. Good. You're having a nice time. It's good.
Good.
And he did this for us
live
when he was in the studio. And we let that.
Yeah.
All right, Bruce McGill is 68 today. Another person who's been in our studio, and we really love talking to, is actor Stephen Lang. Another great character actor, Steve.
Yeah, a ton of stuff. He was the first time I saw him was on a series called Crime Story with Dennis Farina. So, you know, the mob in Chicago. And then he's gone on to be, he plays a really good bad guy in Avatar.
And in Avatar, he's the main nemesis. Yeah.
Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone. He's like Clanton in that. And he's great, man.
Despite what happens in Avatar, in the first one, he's in the next four.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He is. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
I want to see how
apparently those
off.
Arrows aren't as ominous as they look.
They're only 10
yeah,
feet long.
10 feet long through your chest, but it depends on what organ it hits.
Well, right. Also, you got to remember, this is like in the future, so they can medically.
It's quite possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite possible.
Stephen Lang is 66 today. Lil Kim celebrates her 43rd birthday, incarcerated right here in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Right. Still, huh?
No. But back in the day.
She's got a bad lawyer.
She isn't
she's got
still
a bad...
in jail.
No.
Listen, I forgot to tell you. You've been released for like 6 years.
No.
What?
No. So she's 43 today. The fashion designer Giorgio Armani.
Yes.
Wow, he's 84 years old.
That's pretty much me. I wear nothing but Armani.
Do you? Yeah.
Remember when Nick went in to buy socks?
Yes. Well, no, I went in with a gift certificate. And the only thing that they had that I felt I could possibly wear was a belt and socks.
Nick, by the way, we were talking about things to teach people how to be more civil or plan their lives a little better.
Yeah.
If you're going to give a gift certificate to a place, make sure that the gift certificate you're giving saving can accommodate at least some purchase.
Right.
My wife and I got a gift one time to a to an art gallery.
Oh, yeah.
How much was
it? $10.
$50.
$50. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey. There was like a little bell with a mouse on it was the only thing we could afford. Uh-huh. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, are you greeted from the guy from Ferris Bueller as you come in?
That's very sweet.
Hello.
What are you?
Yes, call the police.
Yes.
That'll be
I'm sure they need you back on the job site.
Well, close personal friend of the show, Jason Morgan, who went to O'Hara, he's the Armani the model.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
And I follow him on Instagram. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the dude is just in the best shape ever. He's all over the world all the
time.
He's
paid to be. And that, yes. You know, but that's a good inducement.
And that
you
is know? His gig. And I sent him like 3 Preston and Steve t-shirts, and he has still not modeled those for us.
I wonder if that's a violation of his deal with Armani, if he's allowed to endorse or be photographed.
You just really want a good-looking guy from Delaware County to... Yeah.
Well, it does not matter that he's from Delaware County. I just thought it'd be funny, because I sent them like... Small, right? So they all like would hug his
instead
like.
Instead of a small, well, he does have muscles.
This will hug his pecs just right.
Ooh. So next time you're on a photo shoot and you're lit real well,
make sure you're sweating just a little bit when you put this on.
Armani was like the first time that I actually went and bought something name brand, like spent a little bit of money on it, and I'm pretty sure it was a belt. But that was like my first, you know, when I started getting a paycheck after college. I was like, okay.
You know, on the plus side, I still have that belt.
See? I don't have the socks anymore. We've said this before. That sometimes things cost more because they're made better.
Yeah,
that's part of the deal.
Casey, there's a picture of him in a Preston and Steve shirt, but that was here in the studio.
And look how loose it is. You can't see the definition of his 8-packs
or his nipples.
See the abs.
He's got nipples.
All right, I have a couple more birthdays I got to get to.
I'm sending you some tight underwear. Please wear them.
Nadia Suhlman, the Octomom.
Oh, I hated her so much.
I know you did.
Everyone did.
Yeah, she's.
It was kind of her thing.
She's 43. I watched one of her...
Horrible
porn.
I saw a tiny clip. Did you? How much did you watch of it?
Not much of it.
Yeah,
it's
the self-pleasuring stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. That's what people were doing. They would get this this internet fame or this reality show fame, and then it would fizzle out. And then they let me do a porn video real quick.
Right.
And then they still fizzle out into obscurity. She's 43. Last birthday today is actress Celia Ward. I always had a thing for her.
Yeah.
She was the wife in The Fugitive. She's in movies like Gone Girl and...
Day After Tomorrow, yesterday. Where it gets bad storms and stuff.
Yeah, something like that. anyhow, she's 62 years old today. Those are all the birthdays I'm going to get to this morning. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What continent are sloths native to? 215263 WMMR. Let me see. I'm going to go to... Let me go to Roth for a question about sloth.
What's up?
Hey, Roth, how you doing, man?
Hey, it's actually Ralph, but, you know.
Oh, it's Ralph.
It's Ralph and it's Roth. Dear mother of God.
Let's get it wrong every day. Yeah. This week, just to keep tradition going. Can you tell me what continent the sloths are native to?
I believe South America.
South America is correct, yes. Hang on, bud. We will get... Your information.
They call me the sloth way down in the ghetto. Giant spaghetti.
Is this Fish by any chance?
Yes.
Of course, it's goddamn.
What band that is.
Isn't it terrible?
Sloth. In all day. Rip Van Winkler. Spend my nights in bars. Glasses big.
That's when they were
drinking out
band.
Of my sippy cup. Sippy cup.
Where'd you get sippy cup from?
They could take anything. Yeah, they can do a sloth. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think
it's a 25-minute fish song, sippy cup.
Ain't gonna drink it unless it's out of my sippy cup.
That was excellent. All right. What is his name? Ralph or Roth? It's Ralph, right?
It's sloth.
All right, we're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway, July 20th and 21st. You can visit MapleGroveRaceway.com for tickets and information. All right, let's
quick observation here.
Sure.
I think what people are attracted to with the sloth is its gentle
movement.
Yeah.
That we were watching video. They are very cute and
the
very...
The face is cute, but then you look down and you see those gigantic claws of nails they have. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, people love them sloths.
People love them sloths.
So let's start with this lead story. George Clooney was doing about 60 miles an hour when his scooter hit a car whose driver suddenly pulled out in front of him. The actor was then thrown from the scooter about 20 feet in the air in the distance.
Wow.
He struck the car's windshield and caused it to shatter. And it's nasty. It's a bad accident. Oh, yeah, did you see this video?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's, he just, watch this, Kathy. Bang. Ooh,
I'd be playing various sound effects now, but I can't. But that's 20 feet. Think about your body weight. 20 feet.
Yeah. His helmet was also broken by the force of the impact. That's how hard he hit. It's a good thing.
If he had not been wearing it.
He would have had serious head damage.
That's him hitting the back of a car?
It pulled out in front of him. So the side of a car, I believe.
It's a Mercedes.
Okay. You know what? I can't really tell from this vantage point, but it was the driver's fault.
Yes.
Wow.
Driver admitted it on the scene, too.
So the 57-year-old was taken to the hospital. He was treated and released. He did not break any bones or suffer any serious injuries, though he did complain of a bruised pelvis and received an MRI as well. So
I rented a scooter one time. I actually was in Italy, believe it or not, and it was the first time I'd ever driven one. I had no idea what I was doing, and I got completely confused between the gas on one side and the brake on the other side.
Happens all the time.
I was cruising down the street, Steve, completely lost control of the thing, crashed it, owed him $150 in damages. And so, listen, I'm sure Clooney is cooler than me in many, many ways, including riding a scooter, but it...
Well, if a car veers into you, you can't. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. The car veered into him.
I know how to ride motorcycles. I rode dirt bikes as a kid. And my sister and I, though, I'd never really ridden on the street. My sister and I were in Hawaii. We rented scooters, and I am just cruising right through red lights because I wasn't even paying attention. She's like screaming at me. I'm like, what? I'm looking at that banyan tree over there.
It's almost like you're on a bike.
Yeah. And but Casey, you ride a scooter.
Terrifies me. The video is a little bit grainy, so I can't see exactly what was happening. But there's another scooter that avoids the crash. You know what I mean? That kind of goes around. That's terrible.
I don't know.
Well, I feel terrible also because a little while back he had hurt himself. I think filming Syriana, and he had some really, these complications and had no idea. They couldn't diagnose exactly what it was, but he was having these terrible headaches from this trauma. And as it turned out, there was, a leak in his, brain fluid or something like that.
Mask isn't working correctly. I'm not as handsome as I used to be. Let me tell you the story of when I was in prison.
No, listen, here's a guy who's... Moneymaker is his face and his looks, his whole deal, and it's a pretty heavy duty hit.
Yeah, his wife Amal reportedly collected him at the hospital. The pair are staying
fancy people say
in Obia on the island of Sardinia with their twins. So he's recovering from that.
Do you know they have a lot of problems with that? Bermuda people rent the scooters all the time, and the island roads are very narrow, so they're constantly colliding with cars, and it's a big issue. That's why they almost try to dissuade you from doing it.
Yeah. Johnny Depp is being sued by a location manager who worked on his upcoming movie City of Lies for allegedly punching the crew member during the film's production.
Guess you couldn't take it, pissy.
In a copy of the lawsuit, Greg Rocky Brooks alleges Depp forcefully punched him twice in the lower left side of his rib cage after Depp was told the film's production had to be stopped for the day. The alleged incident occurred in April of 2017 when the movie was being filmed inside and around the Barclay Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. The lawsuit says that Depp continued to scream and berate Brooks until Depp's bodyguards removed Depp from the scene. Brooks alleges that Johnny's, quote, breath reeked of alcohol, and he says he believes Depp had been drinking and doing drugs on set.
It's sarsaparilla.
A representative for Depp has not returned CNN's request for comment. The suit also names producer Miriam Siegel and director Brad Furman, as well as production companies Good Films and Infinitum Nil, the latter of which was founded by Depp.
So when he gets tanked up, as we saw in that video with Amber Heard, where he's wandering around the kitchen looking for a cereal bowl, he gets a little unhinged.
Yeah. Brooks claims that he was fired after choosing not to sign a document stating that he would not sue the production over the incident.
And I'm going to punch your face.
Now he is suing over the incident.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, follow-up. He was in South America seeking treatment, by the way, when after this whole thing happened.
Uh-huh.
He was in South America seeking treatment for anger issues.
Oh, boy.
Before he reportedly verbally attacked his wife, Mara Lane.
Hope he kept the receipt.
During a flight from Miami to L.A. Sunday night. Their baby, Wolf, was also with him. Myers was released later that night and after being questioned and reprimanded for using a vaping pen on the flight. Lane took to Instagram to explain the situation, admitting that he'd been detained by L.A. police and that the star was currently going through some issues. She said, 8 months of sobriety and an unfortunate day of airline travel. We were in South America, specifically working holistically through anger issues that result in these kinds of episodes. When in it, he is not in a frame of mind where he can really even comprehend the repercussions and necessary response to his own actions. And then she captioned a motivational quote of some sort. I don't know what it was. Myers has battled substance abuse issues for years. Lane wrote that she called him Jay. Is extremely sorry for any inconveniences caused to anyone traveling yesterday. There was no argument, just me asking him to not use his e-cigarette per the stewardess's request to me and him not being himself, speaking very unkindly. It was out of his character.
Wait,
she said.
A second. I know this. She's an actress, his wife. I've seen her in a couple of things. Yeah.
Mara Lane is her name.
Yeah.
She said, we are home safe, and he is feeling deeply sorry for any remote disrespect afforded to me, attendants, onlookers, or officers. Thank you for your compassion on this ongoing battle with addiction that we are in, she said.
You use those vape pens inside any place, especially a plane. It's a fog cloud that comes out of those things.
Yeah, but not the, see, you have the jewels. Jewel. And if you just kind of hold it in for a little bit, it's like...
It dissipates?
It dissipates.
All right, I read a study yesterday that suggested that there is no link between vaping and decreased cigarette smoking whatsoever. People use vaping as a way to stop smoking, and there's no at all hard scientific evidence that suggests that vaping helps you quit smoking.
Yeah, a couple of people I know, though, said that they've weaned off cigarettes with it, but right now the data is not supporting it.
What if you... vape instead of smoking, if you give up smoking.
It's
and
just another addiction, basically.
And that
right?
you that just as often as you may quit, you may go back to smoking.
That you
cigarettes.
May go back to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Was that written by Philip Morris or, you know what I mean? Like, those articles, you never know, like, who's backing it or whatever.
You never know.
Yeah.
Chrissy Teigen shares what she wants to share. The 32-year-old model took to Twitter to call out a man who allegedly took topless photos of her while pumping her breast milk. She had written also to the man who took photos into our car as I was topless and pumping. You can go F yourself if you sell them. And she wrote, if I wanted to show you my salami nipples, I'd show you my salami nipples on my own. So I guess she's got big areolas.
Yeah, ooh, probably.
Yeah, right.
You like that, right, Case?
I don't mind it. I like all nipples.
You're very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Teigen deleted the tweet several hours after she sent it out, but she kept up her responses to other people who weighed in. When a user tweeted her at her, you shared a lovely photo of photo the other day, and share one of for the pumping moms. Wind out of that fool's sails. So she said, oh, I am definitely happy to. It's most of my day just so creepy to be sitting in a car dark out and see flashes and a dude. Aside from the stolen photo, she seems to have a great night, had a great night out with her husband, John Legend. She shared an image of them attending the screening of the Handmaid's Tale finale, by the way.
Huh.
She didn't appreciate having her pictures taken of her nipples while she was
breastfeeding. When you breastfeed in the car, what do? Do you pull over? Do you go to an empty parking lot or do it right in traffic?
I drive with my knees.
All right. Yeah, man.
And I breast pump. And it's hard. At the same time, yeah.
No, you have to pull over in the car. And when we were still, you know, feeding the children with
yes.
bottles and all that
right,
sort
yeah.
of stuff, I remember driving on 95 at one point, and to me, it made perfect sense to just grab the kid out of the seat and feed him. And, like, I'm like, you can't, that's so dumb. You have to pull over and not on the side of the road, but, like, pull off of the road and put yourself in a safe
yes,
spot.
Yes, your child is not supposed to be out
exactly.
of their seat.
It's okay, officer. Uh-huh. I was feeding him.
Yeah.
That's why I had him out of his child protection yeah. seat.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm not saying that I actually yeah. did that, but right. it was a thought in my mind for a second. I'm like, hey, just grab the kid.
Save some time.
Yeah.
Save some time. Kris Jenner, Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, and Kendall Jenner have signed on to host tables at the If Only Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament from City of Home and the Forum per TMZ. Winners stand a chance to bring home customized Callaway golf clubs, meet and greets with the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac, and front row tickets to their shows. So they are going to actually, I think they're going to be dealing the cards for this event.
Is Callaway top of the tops?
Outstanding, yeah, absolutely. The event, every golf club brand makes a top of the line.
Yes.
Set.
What's the top of the line set?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Once you get into a certain level, they're all great, but right. It's all your own personal preference. But Callaway is really, really good. The event held July 29th will raise money for cancer treatment and research. This is sad news. Listen to this. After almost 3 weeks of Love Island star Sophie Graydon passing away at age 32, her boyfriend, Aaron Armstrong, has also died. They both killed themselves.
What the hell?
Number one, Love Island, I'm not really that familiar with.
Nah, neither am I.
But apparently this was a
reality show, obviously, right?
Yeah, and so she had about 3 weeks ago had taken her own life, and now he has done the same. And according to the E News, or police told E News, there's not believed to be any third party involvement, and a report will now be prepared for the coroner.
That is effed up.
Wow. So very, very strange news there. Something
lighter,
a little lighter,
please.
During
a
flyover honoring the 100th anniversary of the Royal Air Force on Tuesday, Princess Charlotte and Prince George once again stole the show.
Oh, those little ragamuffins.
They weren't even there, actually. The adorable duo was photographed looking bemused and fascinated, watching the crowds from a window of Buckingham Palace as their parents, Prince William and Kate Middleton, watched the flyover from the balcony along with Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, and others. Prior to the preschool photo op, the so-called Fab Four, which is William, Kate, Meghan, and Harry, attended a service in honor of the Royal Air Force at Westminster Abbey. But it's a really cute picture of them.
Is it, yeah?
Kind of making faces as they're looking out the window.
I was looking at the pictures of the flyover. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so they seem to enjoy it. Netflix is ready to own the comedy space in 2019. The streaming giant has announced it's going to debut a stand-up comedy series, event series, featuring half-hour sets from 47 different comedians all over the world, and it will be broadcast in 7 languages. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but they run. What is that called? It's a series. It's like a half hour. I just watched.
Is this an extension of it? They have a ton of stand up on Netflix.
They do,
and they support it heartily, obviously. But maybe they're going in that much more into it, Case.
Yeah.
47 different specials. That's a lot.
Yeah, this is from people from all over the world.
Yeah.
So international stars as well. The specials will be taped at the Just for Last Festival in Montreal, as well as in Sao Paulo, Mexico City, Mumbai,
yeah,
Berlin, and Amsterdam. And among those being featured are Chris D'Elia, Neil Brennan, Nicole Byer, Nish Kumar, Mae Martin, and L.A. Taylor. But 47, there's going to be a lot of people.
You have multiple countries. We're looking at it right here, represented everywhere. Mm-hmm. Seems to be producing a comedian for the specials.
Yep. All right, I'm excited about this. The filming for George R.R. Martin's recently greenlit Game of Thrones prequel is gearing up. Filming will begin in Belfast in October. And the working title is The Long Night.
Wow.
And it is set thousands of years before Game of Thrones.
So this is them in high school.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Dating and everything.
No, so The Long Night is this lore in Game of Thrones of this period where all these creatures started to appear and things like the White Walkers came forward, Casey. And it should be pretty cool.
Is it going to be darker than Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
All right.
So The Long Night, I guess, is when winter had came and settled in for, you know, decades. And it was just a horrible time in the history. But it was very, very early on. So the only thing for sure about this is the series is described as chronicling the world's descent from the golden age of heroes into its darkest hour. And only one thing is for sure, from the horrifying secrets of Westeros history to the true origin of the White Walkers, the mysteries of the East to the Starks of legend, It's not the story we think we know.
Ooh! Ooh!
No idea when that's going to arrive, but they are beginning the production on it, which is pretty damn cool.
And I'm sorry, this book already exists?
No, it's not a book. It's just...
Mad Libs.
No, so Beth Gardner had got me a book because she knew what a Game of Thrones... She's a big Game of Thrones fan as well, former member of our team here. It was called The Song of Ice and Fire is the name of the entire series, but it's I think it's called A World of Ice and Fire, and it goes into the history, the prehistory of Game of Thrones, but it's just a Cliff's Notes. It's not an actual novel, and it just gives you all these different sections of the timelines leading up to Game of Thrones, and it's really comprehensive and really impressive.
So they're fleshing it out.
They're fleshing it out, yeah.
Is that written by R.R. Martin?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or it's approved by him. His name is on it.
Okay.
And I think it's a collaboration of other people that have put it together.
Because I would imagine when you're creating this universe it all has to start with outlines and storyboards and, you know, and that's kind of cool.
Yep. So
it's too much to just randomly. Hey, it all tied together.
Yeah. So anyhow, there's more coming, which is great. After her success with HBO's Big Little Lies and Facebook Watch's Meet My Mom, she is continuing her female-focused programming with a video on-demand channel. I'm talking about Reese Witherspoon.
Ah.
She and her Hello Sunshine shingle are launching a Hello Sunshine subscription channel with AT&T's DirecTV, DirecTV Now, and UVerse. There's a lot of information.
This is very exciting news that I hope to understand one day.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't understand it either. The first series, Shine On with Reese, will launch July 17th and feature conversations with high-profile Hollywood women at their home. So it's like an interview thing.
Yeah, a wood stapler beehive.
Those are just words.
Yep. Exactly.
A Wrinkle in Time director, Ava DuVernay, and Dolly Parton will appear.
Oh, there you go.
Along with author Glennon Doyle and World Cup champion Abby Wambach.
You guys ever take that when you can't fall asleep?
Abby Wambach.
Yeah. Listen, my lips are just moving in sounds.
It's very impressive, though. And Dolly Parton is playing who now? What member of the Westeros legend is she playing?
She's a White Walker.
Yeah, she's... Working 90.
Anyhow, Witherspoon said in the statement, "I am thrilled to have."
Now you're Jon Snow.
I am thrilled to have such like-minded creative collaborators and AT&T to help Hello Sunshine pursue our mission of elevating and showcasing the voices of women that we have such admiration and respect for. This is the new theme to Game of Thrones. Instead of, you know, da-da-da-da at the beginning, you hear 9 to 5.
They're both about struggling.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
True. Right? Most definitely. All right. What else do we have here for you? What time is it? Have time for anything else?
Is it 11:30 yet?
No, I'm wondering if I have time for anything else or not.
Please. Oh, we need more.
No, we've had enough.
Okay.
We've had enough.
No more Ambi?
Do we have Klimps?
Mystery Klimps?
I
don't see anything. Okay.
Wait. No clips?
No. I don't see my sheet. That gives
sheet. Then we're playing mystery clips.
And they're not over yet.
All right. So then let Marissa be the only one who knows. Casey, you don't look at it.
All right.
And we will all play mystery clips.
Well, we don't even know if they're over yet.
Yeah, they're over.
She's nodding.
They're
over.
We're good.
All right. First clip. Let's play this. See if it... Don't...
No!
Robbie, come get on. It out of here.
Get it out of here. I will cut you.
Robbie Hanjabi just brought in the sheet, and I said, get out of here, dude.
Yeah, be gone with you.
All right, you ready?
As they say in Westeros.
Here we go. First clip.
We went through boot camp, and, you know, we did ride-alongs at the actual hospital. We saw some crazy stuff, some gunshot wounds, people, like, falling off of buildings.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea.
That's a tough one.
Is it from that... that
Code TV, Black?
Code Black. That's what I was saying.
Maybe Code Black.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Play it again.
We went through boot camp, and, you know, we did ride-alongs at the actual hospital. We saw some crazy stuff.
Somebody from Code Black.
Gunshot wounds. People, like, falling off of buildings.
Marsha Gay Harden.
No, I saw the first name is Benjamin something.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, from Code Black.
Yay! Yay!
We'll call that a win. Benjamin Hollingsworth.
No one cares.
No. Let's do the next mystery clip. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
I think our current society has become way too infatuated with technology and social media, and I think it's to the detriment of our future generation.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
I don't know.
A friend rusher?
No.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Shahi Riveri.
No.
Sarah Shahi Riveri. I don't even know who the hell
from where,
that is.
From what? What did she do?
I don't know. Nick, the middle name is spelled S-H-A-H-I. There you go.
Bullet to the head.
She's attractive. I'll give you that. She was on Alias. She played Jenny. I don't know.
She's nothing.
I have no idea.
She's a pimple on the ass of success.
Marissa,
you know?
Reverie is the new science fiction.
Reverie.
Well, that's the name of the show. And yeah. Sarah talks about her show, her thoughts on the show's theme.
Like Paul Reverie.
Yes.
Oh. I got it. All right, and there you go.
One if I landy, two if I see.
By the way, if someone can send me a list of three pieces of legitimate information they learned from this report.
Hang on, there was something in there.
Yeah, Dolly Parton's going to be on Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
and where does Sloss come from?
South America. Yeah. All right, there you go. That's what I have in our entertainment report this morning.
Now you're in the know.
You are in the know. We are going to take a break and going to remind you that we have a secret text word prize today. Chance for you to win tickets to see Evanescence with Lindsey Stirling. It's Tuesday, July 17th, BB&T Pavilion. So text word secret 39333. Going live on Fox Good Day this morning. We also have an announcement about something that's going to take place on our program. We'll get you those details coming up in a little bit. We'll return in just a little while. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Jesus, it's a fire.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I saw this morning, and it's making some waves on social media. Costco has just unveiled a new menu for its food court, and one change isn't going over very well. The retailer still offers its famous $1.50 deal for a hot dog and fountain soda, but the Polish dog combo, also with a soda and for the same price, has been removed. I know.
I never went for the Polish dog combo. I've had the hot dog there. Their hot dogs are actually good.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Yes. Their whole menu there is actually pretty good. And part of your, I guess, your membership fee. That's why the food's so cheap.
That's why, and you will get a better table.
Yeah, and you get a better table as well. But they're apparently doing a food court makeover at Costco, and in
the maitre d's are going to dress differently.
It includes the addition of a burger.
Ooh, okay. All right, yeah. All right, let me think about this.
An acai bowl.
Acai bowl.
What the hell is that?
It's like a fruit bowl, and it's like a smoothie in a bowl.
It's delicious.
They freeze it, and then they kind of put it in like a blender, so it becomes almost like a smoothie. But then they'll add like granola, or you can add like a scoop of peanut butter.
My smoothie place was I have a smoothie place, and they corrected me. It's a size, sir.
Acai.
You're so stupid.
It's a type of berry. Side note: Pliables in Wayne, Pennsylvania, delicious.
Pliables?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a massage parlor.
This is what I usually get, though.
Let's talk about legalized prostitution. No, I'm sorry. You get one of those, Kath?
Yeah, like if it's on the menu, I usually get it. They're delicious.
Well, that's a sort of a healthier option for the Costco menu.
Yeah, very healthy.
Wait, it's healthy? Because, it looks like it's a dessert of some sort.
No, it's a berry, like Nick said. It's
a acai bowl. Well, I have to have one.
Yes,
now.
I would like to have an acai bowl, please.
Uh-huh. Acai.
With some water. At room temperature, thank you.
Acai, is that how you say
it? Acai!
Acai! You can also get one of your options is a dragon fruit.
There you go.
You have to order it like that.
I won't order it in the proper pronunciation, but it does look actually rather delicious. That is a little hidden gem that I did not know was on the Costco menu. And I know people are mocking us for considering eating at Costco, but trust me, their hot dogs at least are really good.
You ever had the chicken bake there?
No,
it's I don't go to pubs.
Good. I don't. I'm a BJ's guy, man.
I go to both.
Yeah. It's about 1,000 calories, but it's really good.
Sign me
up. The chicken bake is really
good. I'm pansexual.
And I always get, what does that have to do with anything?
No, I figured I'd do the same to my shopping activities.
No, I have to, and we always have to get churros while we're there, too, because those are really good. But, acai bowl is what they're adding, and a meatless al pastor salad. Okay, did I say that correctly?
Anyone?
I don't know. Anybody want to correct me on that one? Because I don't know.
A meatless?
I don't know.
Vincent Pastore salad.
Al Pastor salad.
What is, okay, you got me on that one. But so they're trying to get a little more hoity-toity.
Even the company's chief executive doesn't seem too enthusiastic about that. It says the new plant-based protein salad. I know that excites you, Craig Jelinek. Told shareholders earlier
this year.
Yeah, put
the goddamn thing on the menu.
It's like shawarma, apparently. I hadn't heard of it.
I like shawarma.
Yeah. So okay. It's from the Spanish shepherd style.
But that's meatless.
Yeah.
So it's some sort of, I don't know, tofu-based or something. I don't know.
Marissa, like a kebab.
It's soy-based, she's saying. Marissa's our local vegan here, so.
Yeah, usually all those things include, like, seitan or some sort of, like, soy alternative. I'm very excited about this because... Okay. I don't know, and I find more people trying vegetarian stuff.
I look for vegetarian options, and that seitan is a chicken replacement. Ooh, sweet mama.
It's good, right?
It's damn good.
Sweet mama.
Seitan. You're a follower of seitan. So they're gonna get this underway, and I don't know exactly when they'll have them up on the menu, but those are some of the changes they're making.
If you were planning a night out and you were not going to go shopping at one of these places, where would you go to go have a meal that you would enjoy of the different stores, of your Costco's, of your BJ's,
of your IKEA?
Just to go eat.
Ooh, you just said IKEA. My wife and I went and just had lunch at IKEA one time.
Yeah.
Well,
freaking Swedish meatballs.
We actually went there to not buy any type of furniture products or whatever because they also have a market there.
Yeah.
That sells. And since we went to Sweden last year, we got turned on to some things, some cheese and some salmon that they have and stuff like that you only get over there. But IKEA sells them. So we would go there, and we bought, and while we're there, we're like, let's go and get some Swedish meatballs and lingonberries.
And some acai.
Acai.
We used to go to IKEA just to play.
Yeah, okay.
My friend and I would have a play date there with the kids, and we would go, and then we'd take them to the market to eat.
They have actually a little play area. Have you ever seen that, Preston?
Kitchen. Yes.
It's a whole center for you just drop the kids
you
off.
You drop them off.
And have them kidnapped.
All right, so who else sells food in their establishment and is not like, you know, a chain that happens to have a spot in the retailer.
I will tell you that Costco probably beats BJ's in the food a little bit.
I've never had the BJ's.
Yeah, I feel like BJ's is very limited.
It's pizza, it's churros, it's
hot dog.
It's not bad, but I think Costco has a little better food offering.
Yeah.
Marissa?
This is a different level, but I go to Philly's games just to get veggie dogs.
Okay. All right, yeah, it's not a shopping experience, but it's
not a restaurant, and it's the only place that I can go to get veggie dogs. So I've been invited to Phillies games on, like, a Tuesday night, and we'll agree just so I can go get a veggie dog.
Veggie dog, meaning made of vegetables?
Yes.
Okay, describe this place.
No, it's like a, again, it's like a soy, it looks like a hot dog.
It's but
it's in
not.
The same form. It's in its own little case.
Okay.
I think it's section 127. I know the woman very well. Every time for the past 7 years I've been getting a dog, she looks at it and she goes, "That's vegetarian, you know?" I said, "Yep."
It's so funny, you know, vegetarians have meat envy. You know what I mean? Like
they want everything meat-like.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Not everything, but yes, they do strive to have products that are, you know, like a vegetarian cheesesteak.
Well, like the Impossible Burger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good entree for a lot of people. Like, okay, I can try that.
It's even bloody, you know, the Impossible Burger.
But they actually pour real animal blood on it just to make it.
Not really vegetarian.
That's what really sells it is when you douse it in real animal blood.
Some stores like Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's, Neiman Marcus, they'll actually have like a day where they'll set up a stand and you can go and get like ice cream or hot dogs. And a couple of them will have like a little cafe on their top floor where you can go. And so basically you don't have to leave the store. You can do all your shopping and get something to eat.
A bunch of people are texting in. Cabela's apparently has a really good cafe.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Cabela's has a cafe? Well,
that's
why wouldn't
saying,
they?
Yeah.
For Christ's sake, they have everything else. They probably serve the fish you can catch in the big tank.
Hey, somebody pointed that. I forgot about this. guess Home Depot used to sell pizza and hot
dogs.
I remember that. It might have been...
I don't remember.
Yeah, they might have been like right inside the vestibule when you first walk in. I think I remember getting a hot dog one time.
Yeah, not any of mine, though.
Yeah.
It's a great place to take a first date to the vestibule at the Home Depot.
There is that Home Depot that's on Delaware Avenue, Columbus Boulevard. There is a... It's not a deli. It's like a.
Like a stand. They have like sausage and pepper,
yes.
And it smells damn good every time.
Where is this?
It's
by the Columbus Boulevard, Delaware Avenue. Because I grabbed lunch
not
there.
Far from Club Risque.
Right across the street.
If you remember,
they have good food.
During the Camp Out for Hunger, remember when we launched Sarah?
Oh.
In a trash can, at a car.
Yes,
I went to that Home Depot to get those trash cans and sausage and peppers. I'm like, yeah. Oh, man, that smells so good. I had to stop.
You know, I've been saying this for years. One of my favorite turkey dinners was at the Club Risque on Delaware Avenue.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Yeah. Bring your own fork.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom. That was chilling.
But... hang on. Let me go to, I got a couple other calls. I'm going to go to Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. Good morning.
Sorry. Yeah. Hi.
Wait, put on your
phone. Yeah, how are you? At the place where I had my Adam's apple shaved, they had churros.
Dude, you listen to us?
The real Caitlin on the phone. Are you there?
Catlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Catlin, yeah. What's up?
What's up, bitches? Yeah,
Wegmans.
Wegmans, yes.
Well, that's they've always had a nice.
They sell food there.
They sell food.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to a Pet Boys and they have flank steak.
Are you talking about the pub?
Yeah, chicken palm sandwiches and chicken tenders, all delicious stuff.
Chicken palm sandwiches, chicken tenders.
How is that palm?
Thanks, man. It's actually really good.
Is it
Nick,
really?
I know you've eaten it before.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And I also like flank steak, so thanks for bringing that up.
Okay. At the Pet Boys?
Yep. Well, not necessarily.
Just pick your one thing that you're going to do phenomenally well. And Pet Boys, ask about the flank steak.
Okay, let me try this caller. Candence. Hi, Candence. Is it Cadence or Candace?
Candace.
Hi, Candace.
Holy hi.
All right. So what did you want to tell us about?
So it's not veggie-based, but my husband and I actually look forward to going on Saturday morning to our King of Prussia Home Depot and getting the cheese dogs and the hot dogs.
Wow.
The Home Depot hot dogs at yes. KOP are amazing.
They are.
Is it a stand?
It's a stand, yes. The guy's there every day.
Outside the store?
Outside the store.
I can see that, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, okay, we're looking at a picture of, I guess, what it is.
All right.
Oh, it's like a permanent stand.
Yep.
Oh, wow, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, it's not a food truck. Interesting. Okay.
Those little gems.
Thanks,
those
Candace.
Little. There used to be, you know, years before the food trucks became the thing, growing up, there was off this... random exit on the Long Island Expressway. There was a guy parked in weeds in this broken down van. Had the best freaking hot dogs you ever had in your life.
You know what you can find? Sometimes there are these mobile barbecue smokers.
There's a guy
like once a month and they right. set up in your town and it's fantastic.
So you know when Indiana Jones chose the right goblet?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
how I... So that one has been all around my area in on Germantown Avenue and, you know, in Mount Airy. And then I walked past, you know, I hike around the area. It was parked behind the Acme. That's where the guy parks.
He chose wisely.
But and it was still, so they keep that meat cooking and everything. So he's there just cooking away.
Yeah.
And he's getting ready to go out. But man, does that smell good.
I'm going to need confirmation on this text. The Delaware DMV next to the Lowe's, killer sausage and peppers. It's a food,
what? I guess it's a food truck.
Okay.
All right, so food,
so food truck is going to be
mobile, obviously.
You're looking for the anomalous food at a place that you normally don't associate with food.
Casey, you know what? Okay. Or I'm sorry, Steve. I meant to address you. Somebody pointed this out, and I remember this as a kid. It says here, Kmart in New Jersey used to have a restaurant in it. When I was a kid, yeah. Kmart had like a... What would be the proper word for that? Not a diner.
Cafe.
Eatery. A cafe. Thank
so Woolworths
you.
Used to have cafes. Yeah. Do you remember that years
I
and
do.
Years ago?
Did yeah. you guys have Clover where you were?
Yeah.
By any chance?
Because yes.
Clover, it not necessarily a cafe, but they had a stand where you could get hot dogs and ice cream and stuff. And they always
and a
had
dance.
They had a giant gobstopper. I mean, it was.
Giant gobstopper.
I mean, it was almost the size of a tennis ball.
And really?
I always wanted it.
Steve, do you know what I remember about the Kmart cafeteria? It's the type of place where you would be served mashed potatoes with an ice cream ice cream cone scooper.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have that perfectly shaped.
Yeah.
And then they'd put the gravy that looks synthetic on it.
Oh, it was. Yeah, yeah. It was just brown water.
My mom would bribe me to go to Kmart with the food court. And there was, it was the one in Devon, which, by the way, is being torn down right now. I don't even know
what's Kmart going. In Devon?
Yeah, right on Route 30. Mm-hmm. And then Steve, the Woolworth.
I'm surprised Devon even allows a Kmart in their facility.
They don't anymore. Zoning, apparently.
Get out.
Well, speaking of the main line.
Nick McElwain lives very close to here. He'd be offended.
Thank you.
By your camel.
There's no acai bowls in this mother effort. Steve, Woolworths that I went to growing up had a counter, and it was like almost like a diner level service.
And you know what I remember? Nick, they had great hamburgers. and I'm sure there was nothing even remotely meat about their hamburgers, and maybe it's just a sense of nostalgia, but love them.
Let me go to, we were talking about, we got started on this because Costco is taking away their Polish sausage deal and they're adding an acai bowl.
And that's good. Of course, and bowing to the acai lobby.
The Al Pastor salad as well. But
and the Al Lewis salad.
Let me go to Grandpa. Let me go to Matt, wants to comment on BJ's, and I'm not talking about Hummers.
Yeah.
Matt,
hi. They're good too.
You're on the air. Good morning.
Big fan. I'm getting the police cops there?
Are the what?
Police cops.
Are the police cops?
Who said that?
Police cops.
Who had said police cops?
Was it you?
Is that or Marissa?
Marissa, I think.
She said gobs and cops.
All right, anyhow, doesn't matter. What's up, Matt?
Sorry, BJ's is actually taking out their cafeteria area.
Altogether, BJ's is going to remove it?
Yeah, that's what the...
I hope it's not because what I said.
Put appliances there or something.
A what now?
Appliances.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that it was shrinking.
Huh.
Okay, because
that's where I go to BJ's, and I definitely they've made it smaller, and at this point, it may even be gone.
Interesting.
Too bad. It was always situated right below the large marquee that had the trips that you could purchase for
cruises,
$9 trip around the world.
Yeah. Wow. Let me see here. All right, let me go to Marcus. Hi, Marcus. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, down in Deptford, New Jersey, they had this Amco gas station. Amazing cheese.
Amazing cheesesteak.
Amazing cheesesteak. You know how we're in Philly, you go to Jim's, Gino's, Pat's. Yeah. We decided to go to the Amco all the time.
Wow.
Well, Marcus, Casey, you did a real deli stop, and it was a Sunoco station.
And I'll tell you what.
They brought in the sandwiches.
Thanks, yes. Marcus.
They were great.
Yo, they have a steak and egg there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is delicious. Yes.
Amazing.
Delish.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down south, you will see food at gas stations.
Yeah.
They really, you can buy all kinds of different
food. I'm hungry enough to eat a sandwich from a gas station.
But, I mean, besides that, I remember, if you go down to, like, Alabama, we used to always pick up boiled peanuts. You guys ever had boiled peanuts before?
I have. Yeah. Not a big fan.
God, I used to love
really,
those.
Really, yeah.
But there were a lot of gas stations that would sell those out front.
Boiled peanuts, huh?
Boiled peanuts, yes.
Any salt on that or no?
I don't think so. But it's a different taste. You should try them sometime.
The salt gets boiled right off.
Yes, Kathy.
I had a friend that went out drinking one evening and then stopped at a Sunoco and got the biggest burrito you would ever imagine. And it was like one where you brought it home, you put it in the microwave, and he devoured it. And he was like, that was the best burrito I ever had. And he actually went back the next day to get it again. And he was like, I think it maybe had something to do with drinking all night and why it was so
that
good.
That food does benefit quite often from people coming back from, you know, drinking expeditions.
We have time for one more call and then we got to get ready for going on Fox. But Scott, Toyota has a deli.
Okay.
What? Okay. Hi, it's Scott. You're on the air. Good morning. Scott, are you there? Case, I think our phone line seized up on us.
No.
I was trying to hang up on the other line, and it wouldn't do it.
And also line six, Preston.
Raymore and Flanagan has cookies and candy. Yeah, they do.
So does Stephen Singer.
Yeah, when you go into Raymore and Flanagan, mm-hmm. I've been there a couple of times. They have like a full candy. Like
are you
a,
sure?
Like a bar.
What? Bob's Discount Furniture has that. And
yeah, I think
they
a lot
might
of
have that too.
I think okay. a lot of the furniture stores do. No, Mealy's has like a whole cafe, and you can go in and actually sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, specifically Raymore and Flanagan that I've been to.
Yeah,
and they have like all like you know at my birthday party where we had all the candies set yeah. out. It's like that.
I like it,
and you can help yourself to that. So interesting. Well, okay. Well, if you're a big fan of the Polish sausage deal at Costco, it's going away. It's $1.50. You get the combo. You get the
Polish, where are the sausages?
You get the Polish sausage and the soda, but the hot dog is still going to stick around.
This is bull crap.
But the acai bowl will be available.
What is this?
And the alpaca salad?
The alpaca salad. Yeah. Those things are so cute.
Tastes yeah. like lava. Start.
But I tell you what, man, take a chainsaw to them and it's good eating.
Tastes like lava. All right. Anyhow, we have a secret text for a chance for you to win tickets to Evanescence and Lindsey Stirling, BB&T Pavilion, Tuesday, July 17th. Text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win in a little bit. We'll be back in a moment going live on Fox Good Day. We also have the B-File. We have to announce a solicitation.
Yes.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with that. Us. Not that. We'll be back with that if you stay with us.
Okay.
Yes. Them. Yeah.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1990.
Stop. Have a time.
The year MMR turned 22, it was the year the Hubble Space Telescope took orbit and Vanilla Ice rocketed to number one.
All right, stop.
Meanwhile, Twin Peaks premiered and Pee-wee's Playhouse ended on TV. And the McAllisters left Kevin home alone on the big screen.
Come on!
At MMR, the DJs had new music from Jane's Addiction, AC/DC, The Black Crowes, Poison, John Bon Jovi, Alice in Chains, and so many more from 1990. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Thompson Toyota. Experience the Thompson difference at thompsontoyota.net. 93.3
WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
So did you hear about our trip to London? Maybe you did. We've been talking about it. And we have a chance to win and go along with us. We are going to be broadcasting live from London. And it is the Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. And here's what you get. If you know, you can buy and go to this trip. We're going to give one of these away as well. But if you get on board with Green Legion, you get airfare aboard the Green Legion charter. You get a hotel, transportation in London. A Saturday pep rally with alumni players. So the day before the game, there's a full-on pep rally.
That's really cool.
And then you get tickets to the game on October 28th at the legendary Wembley Stadium and a tailgate before the game as well. That's a full package. We're staying for a few extra days. We're going to stay on Monday and broadcast live as well.
Logistically, it works out. It's the best way to get it done.
And we'll be able to talk, you know, post-game.
To the Queen.
And talk to the Queen and all that. We're getting geared up for this, and we're going to be doing appearances, your chance to get registered for the trip. The first one will be on July 20th, and Marissa Magnata will be helming that along with the MM Army, and that is at Xfinity Live, July 20th from 5 to 7 p.m., your first chance to go. There's going to be a dozen of these appearances all together. I recommend you go to every single one of them.
Well, it would certainly help your efforts, right?
Yep, and we will have the details on all those locations and times coming up in the very near future. So stay tuned, get yourself ready, but we would love to have you on board. And it's for Miller Lite, great taste, and only 96 calories, and of course, Green Legion as well. Should be hearing some music any moment now. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day today and see what these guys want to chat about. And in a little while, we have an announcement they're going to make about it's a solicitation. It's something
it might change your life.
It very well may. Yes. Here we go, live on Fox.
When you cheat. Hey, President Steve, apparently we found this study that says there are some common body language signs that can mean your significant other is cheating on you.
Uh-huh.
You want to hear one?
Yes, please. I want to hear all of them.
If you're lying, you start touching your hair and maybe rubbing your arms up and down. So there's a lot of touching of your hair and your arms.
Well, how would you know with me?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Well, you have hair in other places.
I have my butt hair.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Is that what you're doing when
we
talk about...
Yeah, when I scratch, I'm always lying.
Well, wait, rubbing your arms like this? You know, or
apparently, the higher you go on your body, the more your line, if that makes any sense.
I can see that, but it's certainly a bizarre looking, like...
Yeah.
You look like Renfield, Dracula's assistant.
Yeah. I haven't been doing anything.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
Everyone ends up looking like Peter Lorre. I wouldn't do that. Mike and I are the only ones who know Peter Lorre.
No, I know who he is. You guys just sound really creepy talking like that.
I'm totally faithful.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, I know y'all don't lie to each other, but it's sometimes you got to fib even with your coworkers.
Yeah.
If you're embarrassed.
Oh, is that
about
true,
something.
Mike, huh?
Now, let's punch up Kathy.
All right, bring up Kathy.
If she's fibbing about something, what will she do?
Her lips will move. Her lips will move and sound will come out of her mouth. That's how you know. No, she
liar.
I don't think
I saw this list and it's kind of dumb. Like one of them was he nods yes but says no. Like what? Who does that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idiots.
I don't know.
Don't you think the biggest tell is lack of eye contact?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? That would be. Yeah.
I think when you avert your eyes, intrinsically we read that as lying.
Mm-hmm.
If you won't look someone in the eyes.
It seems like Nick would be the shadiest.
Nick is
all.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. He's wanted by 9 international crimes.
That's not even my real name's not Nick. So
yeah. It's Ronaldo Herpe.
Not Nick. Thank you all. Have a good
thank
day.
Thank you. Right,
see you later, guys.
Bye. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. There was no real resolution in that conversation.
I read through the list. It's dumb.
Yeah. Sometimes the lists are dumb. Sometimes they're good.
He doesn't stick around to cuddle after sex. What? Like?
Well, no, you got to go get a towel. I mean, come on. Right, guys?
Wait, just hold 1 second.
No. Had a lot of those today.
Some of those are just, it's all per scenario. You know what I mean? There are some people that have, what are the things I'm looking at?
Bleeding eyes.
No. They just have tendencies to do, you know, some people may not make eye contact.
There are tells. People have certain, I don't think there's one set list of things that defines when someone is lying to you. There are people who are hired and that are experts at body language who can catch other subtleties.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That would not be obvious to us. But if you're going like this and you're rubbing your... I was home all night. I don't believe you.
Can you tell when your kids are lying to you?
Well, that's when Steve said eye contact.
Yeah.
You know,
when
like,
my kids tell me they're my kids, I know they're lying.
you can tell.
Immediately.
Yeah. Can you with Jace?
Oh, but you know what? He's still young where he's not lying. So,
yeah.
But I mean, even if he's like, because he'll say, I'll say, did you brush your teeth? And he looks away and down at the floor and he goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, you did? You know, he knows that I know.
It's like, were you with that hooker?
No.
No.
It's like, well, they go to the lie automatically. Like when you ask stuff like, did you brush your teeth or did you take a shower?
Yeah.
Isn't that them testing you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's natural in your development. Everyone tries to see, as humans, what we can get away with.
You know, and this is like the pot calling the kettle black here, but with my son, when he goes to take a shower, you know, I'm like, dude, why are you lying? Just go take the damn shower.
Yeah.
It's going to take you 5 minutes to wash your hair and all that stuff. And, you know.
Meanwhile, daddy hasn't showered in a week.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So now when he's about, you know, like, all right, go take a shower. And when you come back here, I'm going to smell your hair and your armpits. I said, really? You just have to wash, like, a couple of things. Hair, armpits, bird butt. And that's it. You know what I mean? Everything else.
Bird butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
The taint?
That's in there. That's all in the same general vicinity. All right. Interesting. All right. So do your own little assessment on why your man is cheating on you by checking his body language.
Smell his butt.
Yeah. All right. Let's do. Yeah. You could use Casey's.
Yes.
Casey's child.
Well, smell the D.
Smell the D.
We have the song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. We got to do the bizarre file. So let's go.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Elmwood Park Zoo. Branch out and challenge yourself at Treetop Adventures. Climb, zip, and swing through the trees high above the Elmwood Park Zoo. It is so much fun.
It's phenomenal.
Visit zipthezoo.com to begin your adventure. A woman accidentally swapped her rental car for another man's car in the Cornwall Walmart parking lot, unaware of the error until 2 weeks later when she returned the Infiniti to the car rental firm, only to be told that it was the wrong vehicle.
Wow.
2 weeks.
2 weeks? How would you not know?
Listen
sooner.
To this. The amusing anecdote has the police reminding drivers not to leave electronic key fobs sitting in their unattended vehicles. In a Facebook post, they recount how the woman rented a black Nissan Sentra, but hopped into the unlocked, ready-to-start Infiniti after shopping at the local store. She drove away, leaving the Nissan behind and going about her life with her rental car for 2 weeks in June. And upon returning to the company, she complained about the vehicle's unkempt interior, including the golf clubs inside.
How does she start a car without the fob?
No, the fob was left in the car.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So the slightly...
Well, that's a dumb move.
The slightly confused manager looked at the Infiniti keys and informed her it wasn't the car that she had rented.
And by the way, I did not appreciate the kid in the back seat.
They retraced her path back to the Walmart where the Sentra was found in the spot where the embarrassed woman had parked it.
Oh, man.
They contacted the police, which confirmed the Infiniti was listed as stolen, as reported by the owner.
How do you leave an Infiniti? Infiniti with the fob in the car?
Well, how do you mistake a Sentra for an Infiniti? Listen, do they look similar?
I don't know. It's a rental car. It was the same color. And
yeah.
She just walked out and she got in the wrong one. He was reunited with his vehicle in a happy and funny conclusion to the almost unbelievable switcheroo that took place.
My golf clubs.
Yeah.
I missed you so much.
I've accidentally gotten in the wrong car before.
Have you?
Yeah. And I'm like, why won't this start?
You and Matt Cord have, I think he has the same color car as you.
I think we used to. I don't know if he still does or not.
You and Kathy did for a while.
Yeah. I think we did.
We had white.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I have gotten in the wrong car, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, that's not my stuff.
This is not my beautiful wife.
It's very weird.
My brother accidentally got into the back seat of his car one time, which I just think is so funny because, you know, he had hands full, whatever, opens the back seat, puts everything down.
And then he sits
and
down
he looks
in
like,
it.
And there's a seat in front of him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Police in Des Moines, Iowa, were alerted to a reckless driver on July 9th. They spotted the car zigzagging down a street and turned on their lights when they were following it. The car only stopped after a minor crash into a curb. Well, police wanted to see what was up. So when they approached the driver, they discovered actually it was a 10-year-old boy and his 7-year-old brother riding shotgun.
Wow.
Yeah, they said that the boys were apparently just out on a joyride. And that the kids won't be referred to juvenile authorities over the incident.
Something tells me that wasn't the first time they've done that.
10 years old and a 7-year old going for a joyride. Wow. Apparently, seagulls are getting drunk in Britain. Animal rescuers say that they have gotten an uptick in calls that to come rescue drunk birds that apparently got a hold of some brewery waste. RSPCA officers say that they have responded to more than a dozen calls in recent weeks about gulls stumbling around and eventually vomiting before recovering.
That's great.
Rescuers say that the birds stink of alcohol when they pick them up. And a veterinarian says most of the intoxicated gulls were collected on Devon, but some were also spotted in Dorset. The RSPCA is urging breweries and other alcohol producers to make sure that their waste isn't being left where wild animals can get
what,
to it.
How would you, besides the vomiting, how would you know a seagull was drunk?
Yeah,
they fly erratically to begin with. They eat a lot.
Who knows? Authorities arrested an Athens man after police say he attempted to pull a gun from its holster during a church service on Sunday. Deputies say it happened while Thomas Zeblun Luter, was speaking at the pulpit during a service at O'Neill Church of Christ. He's charged with making terrorist threats. Luter had approached the pulpit during the service and began to speak about his pending divorce, calling out his wife and father-in-law who were present at the service.
There you are right there.
Congregants approached the pulpit and tried to convince him to stop talking and sit down, but he refused, and that's when deputies say that Luther attempted to grab his handgun.
Wow.
Deputies say congregants tackled and restrained him. And in fact, a retired sheriff's deputy was present. He assisted and handcuffed Luther while they waited for deputies to arrive. So that could have gotten real bad.
Absolutely.
Authorities took Luther to the hospital for evaluation before booking him into the county jail. Backtracking a little bit, reports are still coming in of different fireworks issues over the 4th of July holiday.
We're going to have them for a few weeks.
Fireworks triggered a car explosion. Whoa. This is in Dayton on the 4th of July evening that critically injured a man who was pulled from the burning car and caused minor injuries to several people outside. Keyshawn Rivers remains in critical condition at Miami Valley Hospital. Police detectives continue to investigate the incident, saying that they are awaiting the results of lab analysis for confirmation the explosion was caused by fireworks. But a lot of people are saying that's what it was.
He was transporting the fireworks and they went off?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the scenario, but Thomas Maddox was one of several people who pulled the man from the burning car. He was grilling when fireworks inside the vehicle exploded. He said, "I saw a young man in a car. I saw a life in that car, and I helped to get that life out of that car because that car was catching on fire." He said, "I pray that he's okay, and I pray that everyone who was injured was okay." The explosion sounded more like a bomb going off than fireworks. A skylight on the vehicle flew off in the explosion, striking Maddox's vehicle, which actually, it set off the airbags.
That's how hard it hit it.
Of a different vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah, and knocked off the rearview mirror of this guy's car. That's how big the explosion was. Maddox didn't know the victim, but other people at the party were friends with him. He said the incident was a terrible accident.
Wow. All right, so will airbags go off on a car that is not started? Like, suppose, how about you're in your car about to get going and somebody hits you at a pretty decent clip?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know if they engage when you're, say you're sitting in a stopped car, you're looking at your phone or whatever, you pull over to the side, you turn your car off, and you get rear-ended. Will the airbags go off?
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Don't know. Nick's going to look that up for you. One last story. A self-styled traditional healer in Nigeria has died after one of his clients tested his bulletproof charms on him.
Oh, boy.
Chinaka Adozue.
I want to see if these work.
Was killed after instructing the man to shoot him as he was wearing the charms around his neck.
It'll work!
The police say the client has been arrested on suspicion of murder. Charms are popular in Nigeria, where traditional healers are consulted for cures for various ailments.
Always after me, bulletproof charms.
But there have been several reports of people being killed after testing bulletproof charms and medicines. A young man had gone to the healer to prepare bulletproof charms for him, which the native doctor did. And they said to prove the effectiveness of the new charms, he positioned and handed over a gun to his customer, and tragedy struck.
Ah! There you go. Let's cross that one off. Let's try the next one.
And that is what I have in the Bizarre File for you this morning. Nick, did you find anything out about that?
Yeah, so this is a quote, and Casey, the answer is sometimes. It's very complicated, the logic behind it, and it makes it very, very difficult for an automaker or a supplier to explain why it did or didn't go off in certain situations. So sometimes the airbag will go off and sometimes it won't. And the car's computer has to determine in 15 to 20 milliseconds where it was hit, what position the occupants are in, and whether or not the speed of the airbag would do more harm than good.
Wow.
And this is
while it's off.
Yeah,
and you're saying
every automaker programs airbags differently.
Okay,
so there may be some automakers that do not program them to go off when the car is off.
Correct.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, let's take a break. And as we do take a break, I'd like to give away some passes to see The Equalizer 2, sequel to that really cool movie. Monday is when we're going to have the screening. It's at 7:30 at the UA Riverview. And it opens in theaters nationwide on July 20th. So we'll take five callers and we'll set you up. Free movie on us, man. Monday is when that takes place. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We have to announce something that you can help us with and we can help somebody with. We'll be back with those details in a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
If someone wants to shank the guy's bank, I say let him.
Yeah. Let him. Play that again, if you would, please.
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
And you know who would do that? Julie Jerkoff.
Julie Jerkoff is in a heartbeat.
I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Okay. That threw me off. I was not expecting it. Is it here, Casey?
Yep.
Yeah.
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive
me, Kirkoff. If someone wants to yank a guy's prank, I say let him.
Hey, real quick before we get into any conversation, and we are going to announce something in just a moment here, but I want to do a butt plug and a couple of shout outs. This one is a sad, sad story. I got this email. I don't know who it's from, but he's writing on behalf of his brother. He said, my brother and sister-in-law's GoFundMe page. He was writing about my 10-year-old nephew, yes. Connor, suffered a stroke suddenly and unexpectedly. And after almost 3 weeks, things had looked hopeful. Unfortunately, he developed a dangerously rapid heartbeat, developed pneumonia, medevaced to Children's Hospital, worked tirelessly on him day and night, and I'm jumping through. It's a pretty lengthy email. He ended up with a staph infection, suffered multiple organ failure, and he lost his fight. This kid, little kid named Connor.
I saw this. Just a horrible, harrowing story.
Yeah. He said that insurance is going to cover a percentage of the cost, but two hospitals and a medevac helicopter transfer have left a significant financial responsibility on the family. He says, my brother and his wife have missed weeks of work to be by Connor's side as well. So they've set up a GoFundMe. And Nick, did you get this information as well?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, make sure that we have that posted on PrestonandSteve.com because they've lost a child. And then through the process, it wasn't, you know, they worked tirelessly to try to save this kid's life. And that gets very, very expensive. And they had to take time off work as well.
They're dealing with the devastation of that. And then they've incurred, obviously, this on top of it. I put it on my social media and everything. So if you guys also follow suit and just get it out there, it's just a horrible story.
Yep. So that is the plug I'd like to give. Then a couple of shout outs. Let's go to this one. Birthday shout out to my son, Liam. He turns 11 on July 23rd, but we listen via podcast, so the exact date isn't required. A few weeks back, we were listening to the show while driving in the car. During the Bizarre File, the Oh My Balls clip was played multiple times from Florida stories, of course.
Yeah.
He was trying so hard not to laugh, but he ended up laugh crying, and I got a case of the giggles, too.
Oh, my balls!
I'm sure we looked ridiculous, but what a great way to start the day. And as a side note, Liam has long hair. We don't know many boys who have long hair, and we love it when you talk about your son's hair. It ups the cool factor for Liam. Oh, and he plays drums, too, so you know he's cool. So if you can give Liam a birthday Oh My Balls shout out,
yes,
it would make his day. Thanks, and that's from Christy O. in Downingtown. So if you would, please.
Oh, my balls!
There you go. That's for you, Liam. Happy birthday, man. And then another one. Appreciate it if you give our team a shout out. Champions on Tuesday night, meaning last night, and this is the Pennsylvania Baseball Southeast State Champions. Upper Perk 10U Indians, that's what it says, 10U, are the Pennsylvania Cal Ripken Southeast State Baseball Champions.
That is the longest title I've ever heard.
It is pretty long. They now move on to the Middle Atlantic Regional Tournament, which starts on the 19th in South Plainfield, New Jersey. Longtime listeners from Brian Godshall, so a shout out, guys.
Yeah, right now in tournament baseball, it's really getting down to like
the nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty, the state titles, and all that stuff. My nephew's team, I believe it's 11 under, 11U. He plays for Media, and they have another game tonight. And after tonight, it's like maybe they go to states or areas or regionals. And
I don't understand any of that. I just know that it's there are so many teams out there busting their ass to try to make it.
Yep. All right. And then real quick, I want to give a personal shout out to a listener of the show. His name is Bill Jeremiah.
Yep.
Speaking of champions, he invited me out to play at a really wonderful golf course called Bitterman Golf Club. And nice. Very nice. It's a... and we're walking around the club, and everybody was going, "Hey, congratulations! Hey, congratulations!" I'm like, "What? That's all about." He's like, "I won the club championship." And I was like, so, thanks to Bill, and he came out to the Camp Out for Hunger, and it was back at the Camp Out for Hunger. He invited me to go out and play golf, and I finally made good on it.
Oh, that's cool!
And he brought his daughters out to help and donate, and it's something they're going to do every year. And thank you to Anthony, who is the professional, the head pro at Bitterman. I had a great time. So
we have audio of you yesterday, Preston. That's how good you are.
I can hit it three times in one swing. So, thank you to Bill. Can you give him a shout out, please?
Yes, absolutely. One second. Reconstitute my farts.
Yep.
Fart page. Yeah.
All right, and then Kathy has a shout out.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you to, let's see, Amber McKenzie, Miles, and Isla. They sent over, they had twins, and they sent over this pack of baby onesies, and they're Days of the Week, Preston and Steve's Days of the Week.
Wow.
So it's Preston Young Man Monday. Kathy Sweet Tea Tuesday.
Oh my God, they're named after Gary Lauer sayings.
Bill Man About Town Weston Wednesday. Nick Knows Things Thursday. Casey Foster Friday. Shotgun Steve Saturday. And Marissa's Social Sunday.
Nice.
And they're baby onesies, and they made them for their twins. Their twins wear them. They sent me pictures, and then they sent us a pack of them.
That's cute.
Are they posted up online, those pictures? I'd love to see them.
She sent me actual physical pictures. I'll show them to you. But yes, yeah, so cute. So thank you to them.
How old are they? Are those onesies for? Does it have an age on them?
Question, Case. I'm not really sure, but the pictures that I saw of the babies were probably about like 4 months or so.
Okay, cool. Nice. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. All right, we're announcing something.
Yes.
Let me set it up first.
Because I think perhaps this is a life-changing step that we're trying to help people make.
Yeah.
And it has a little more gravitas to it.
And I think it may have come from, I was at the airport one time and was waiting in security, and I saw a guy who I just couldn't stop looking at his hair.
Yeah.
Because, and I actually took a secret photo of him and I posted it on social media. I think I did. Or no, I just mentioned it. That's right. I didn't take a picture of him. But he had, From the Three Stooges, he had the full-on Larry Fine, bald on top and bushy around the sides thing. And number one, there's only one guy that could ever pull that off, and that was Larry Fine. Yeah. And it's guys that hang on to that side hair. They've got what a friend of mine and I used to call the lagoon.
Yeah.
Which is just the bald spot on top. Casey, as you have said, the dad from Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
Or the Dr. Phil.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, you're clinging on to, bald is okay now. It's been in vogue for quite some time.
Tell me about it, stud.
I know, exactly. You were exactly that.
Yeah, I embraced it a long time ago. Now, I'm probably in the Bruce Willis, if I let it grow in, Bruce Willis, Die Hard with a Vengeance level.
A little bit of fuzz is okay.
Yeah, a little bit of fuzz is okay. But in this case, Preston, referring to Larry Fine, these guys will grow it out.
Yeah.
As a distraction. I think that's what the modus operandi is. I don't understand it completely. We do know, though, it looks bad.
And on rare occasions, you will see a full-on comb-over.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anyone.
And there is... And my honestly, it's past the stage, and I know you agree with this, it's past the stage of, we're not holding you up for ridicule. We're trying to stop you from being ridiculed. We're trying to let you know. Heed the advice we've said. How many times on the show have we advised them to cut it down?
Yeah,
right.
Trim it down. You can even cut it down, as you said.
Yeah.
Take it down to like a one setting or a two setting. But let's stop the illusion. David Blaine's at the tower tonight.
Yeah.
He couldn't pull off that illusion. So you know, it's just, and you will be, the sense of freedom you will have once you commit to trying it, to cutting that hair down, will be a revelation.
Here's the deal. If you commit to that and do what Steve has done, nobody is talking about you or laughing at you behind your back.
Yeah, no, we don't want they're that. Laughing at you right in front of you.
Right.
No. But it's that thing that just never looks right. As good as you think it looks, it doesn't look good.
Yep.
And you don't need to suffer this.
So now we'll do the drum roll. So we've talked about this, and now we've set it up, and we are going to make it happen. We're going to take care of that. We're going to take a handful of people, and we're going to change their lives, we think, and give them a whole new look. And we're going to do before and after, and the whole day we're going to do it right here in our studio. So I would like to announce Preston and Steve's comb-over intervention. The intervention. All right, and by that we mean you are going to nominate someone. Oh, this is get a haircut and get a real job.
Well, Preston, because for many, it's not simply them. In fact, they're blissfully unaware. It's the people who love them,
yes,
who are out with them, who see them being looked at,
who know that they're being made fun of, or at least know they could look so much better.
You could look better.
You could look better, and they want them to look better and start enjoying life more.
So here's what you need to do. You need to nominate a friend or family member. You're going to email Nick at WMMR.com. Here's what we'd like you to do is send us that person's information, their email address, so we can contact them and make sure that they're cool with it in the first place. But we'd like to get a photo. Maybe it's a picture of you and this person together hanging out. And then we can take a look at the hair. We need a description of your relationship and why this would be important to both of you. And send that in to Nick at WMMR.com. And then we are going to do this the morning of July 25th. Our friends at Shaving Grace Barbers will be in the studio to do a professional and ceremonial head shave all together.
You'll be surrounded by friends.
Yes.
Who understand and are going to help make a difference.
Fellow follically challenged individuals.
Exactly. Yes. You're going to be with friends. You're going to be with me. I'm the big kahuna when it comes to the hair deal. So we want you to do it. And we want, honestly, you know who you are. The wife, the girlfriend, the sister. Whoever's impacted by having someone you love go out looking like a goon and know that you can have it fixed with one simple razor session. And you're impressed. How many times have you wanted to reach out and go, I could cut this nail and alter your life for the good forever?
Forever. I keep thinking of this run-in that I had with a guy that I had interned with at Y100. And I saw him, this is probably 7 years ago, and he had completely shaved it all the way down. And he had told me that he was suffering from what we're talking about, that lagoon, and it looked weird. It made him look older.
Yes.
And then finally, one day, he decided, all right, well, I'm going to win the war. And so he shaved it all down. And lo and behold, women started paying attention to
him. Hey.
There you go. Looking like Jason Statham. Mm-hmm. Look at now as you talk about the norm, you talk about the shaved head. You even brought down, look at Prince William, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was not looking so good.
Take it off.
Shaved it down.
Yep. I've seen guys go into Shaving Grace disheveled, and they you think maybe they'll get a haircut and try and trim it up with the lagoon and make that look better. These guys do the towel treatment and automatically look better as soon as they walk out of that place.
You know what I like to see, Steve? Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yes.
The character Riff Raff?
Yes, yeah.
The people that try to pull off, long hair, but bald on top?
No.
Oh, my God. I'd love it if we got one of those. What's that?
The Hulk Hogan?
Even
longer.
It's even, and if it's bad or stringy, you're basically saying to the world, hey, I'm a child molester.
Okay.
So not even if you aren't, but I bet you're just, it doesn't look good.
Okay.
Bring it down. Bring it in. I understand there's a look that you're like this exactly at Preston.
Yeah, riff-raff picture. Yeah,
it doesn't look good.
Yeah. So email Nick at WMMR.com with that person you want to nominate and include their information, especially their contact information, their email address, and a photo. That would be great. And we will contact and see if they are interested in coming in. And it's free of charge. And who knows? We may even have breakfast pizza that morning.
There are other things involved, but we want to make you will. When it's done, you may fight tooth and nail, but when it's done, you will thank us.
Yep, exactly. So get yourself ready and send us that information. We would love to get you on board, and that's going to be on July 25th. So just wanted to pass that out there. It's the comb-over intervention that we're doing, and we need your help, and they need your help. They need your help, that person you know.
At some point, I guess, as we move along, perhaps we'll take a call now and then from people who want to if they have people in their lives who are like this.
Yeah.
So we know what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. I don't know how many we're going to have room for that particular morning.
We're working on that with the guys from Shaving Craze because they want you to look good, so they don't want to just buzz you and send you on your way.
It's what they do. Absolutely. So real quick, what's the story going to a local news story? This fire in Kensington this morning?
It was a four-alarm fire, was it not?
I don't know.
Yeah,
you guys have been talking about it. I really don't know much about it. Yeah.
Sorry, let me pull it up.
We lost some valuable garbage.
What was on fire?
It was a junkyard.
A junkyard?
Yeah, a junkyard fire, which is traditionally a pretty difficult fire to put out.
God.
But it was out of control. And they were saying that people who are seasoned firefighters said it was one of the worst fires they had ever seen.
They had seen in a while, yeah. Like, it was a huge fire. There was one firefighter that was taken to Temple University Hospital, treated for injuries, suffered from a fall. But, yeah, there's a number of roads still closed, and it's still kind of smoking out there.
How bad must that smell?
You have to imagine. It's burning garbage.
It's junk. Is it a junkyard, or is it
it's a junkyard.
A landfill?
It's not a landfill.
It's a Kensington junkyard. It broke out at East.
Oh, so like vehicles and things like that?
Tires.
East Somerset and Tulip Streets in Kensington. It started last night at 8:30 and still smoking.
Do you remember that fire in the late 90s, I think it was, that was underneath the bridge?
Yes.
Tire fire.
Right? Yeah. It was a tire fire and it melted the bridge.
It was a major traffic inconvenience for months, maybe even years after that. So they can get really out of control. Marissa?
You said it this morning, but it did start last night because I was having dinner in Fishtown and all the fire trucks were passing by.
No kidding. Wow. Okay. But they've, what's the status on it, Kathy? I'm sorry.
I believe they have it. I mean, they have it under control, but I think that it's still smoking. Something that big, you know, they always have to watch for the hot spots.
Preston, if you had been down there, you would have gotten nostalgic for old girlfriends.
Oh, Teresa must be nearby.
Run.
Burning rubber girl.
Run. Burnt rubber. I smell it. You guys ever come across a real, like, house fire before or anything?
A real
like
house
that?
Fire? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen them. I've happened to be, like, just on a couple occasions driving by when it was taking place. And it's, you can't believe it until you see it in person.
That's why, God bless the firefighters. God mm-hmm. bless the men and women who go running into these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think, we see it on television, we see it on the news, but when you're in proximity to it and you can feel. The one thing TV can convey is the heat from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, you ever do the backdraft attraction at Universal?
It's hot in the room.
Or even at a Sixers game when they do the pyrotechnics before the game starts.
Holy hell.
You can feel that from the stands.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane how hot it gets.
And every bit of your fiber, every bit of years of evolution has trained you to run from that sensation.
Yeah,
run towards it.
There were two houses that burnt down in Wildwood Crest last year. They were right on the bay. It was... I don't even know.
Did you show us pictures of that?
Maybe.
When that happened?
Yeah, it was like four houses down from where my cousin lives. And it was actually probably about a half a mile where we were from.
Was it off season that the fire?
No. It was probably August.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. And my wife was freaking out about it. I was laying down trying to take a nap, and she would just keep coming running into the room like, oh my God, you got it! And startle me out of my slumber. But the fire started in one house and then spread over to another and then, you know, just basically burned it down to the ground.
So a lot of people are texting in. They could smell it in Deptford, New Jersey.
Oh, man. Wow.
Smelled it in Camden. And by the way, somebody pointing out, Steve, that this goes along with the Pennsylvania song.
Yes.
Listen to the sound of the burning tires was a line apparently
really?
In the Pennsylvania song, yes.
Pennsylvania.
We've got the mountains, but we don't have the sea. Something about the
Pennsylvania.
But that was in Chester, I believe.
Yes.
Let me go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Cindy?
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know, I actually right around the corner from that fire, and you couldn't smell anything.
You couldn't smell anything?
Huh. No smell at all. It was just like, it was a little bit smoky, but because of it being a car lot, a car junkyard, it's mostly metal. So you couldn't smell hardly anything.
But now, there are other reports of people smelling it all around the air. Perhaps you were in the wrong wind direction.
Or you're just maybe desensitized in Kensington.
Yeah, or it improved the smell in Kensington.
In fact, the potpourri is burnt tire in her house.
I saw reports that people were like covering their faces and, you know, trying to get out of the area. Yeah.
Interesting. Cindy, was your slumber disturbed by the,
I couldn't smell a thing.
On my way home from work at the time, it took me like an hour and a half to get home, which normally takes me 15 minutes.
Oh, boy. That sucks.
All right. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it.
A fire at night.
I was boy, but I couldn't smell. I didn't smell anything.
The fire you're talking about coming across a fire, a house fire, I did, it was years ago, it was at night, and the flames, you know, I hate to say it,
It is lovely.
It's
terrifying, but it is lovely.
Man, one time in Conshohocken, I was on my way into the radio station when we were on River Road, and that apartment complex that they were still building. Remember that one?
Was it the London?
Huge.
Was that the name of it?
No.
The Londonderry? I don't know if it was. I forget which one it was.
That was gigantic.
By the way, I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. And I know we've talked about this before, but I don't remember. And I've always assumed that the alarm, 4 alarm, 5 alarm, and so on, are the
fire companies
that are called. But I think it's not. I think it's something
that's
different.
That's incorrect now?
I think I
always thought that was how many companies are responding.
Yeah.
I don't know. 215-263-WMMR. Marissa?
I'm pretty sure it's the companies that were called. And then sometimes, like in the city, there's various trucks within like one building. So it could be a different alarm, but there's just like two trucks that came from that one building. So that would be 2 alarms from that one building.
From that one building. Okay. So, yeah, I don't remember. Thanks. But Marissa is a former firefighter.
Yeah, I've seen some house fires. It's crazy. I was a firefighter until I was about 19 or 20, so I didn't go in many buildings. But being on a scene like that, and I mean, you're like behind the line to like watch like when pedestrians will just walk by. But to be there and like watching it, it is crazy, and God bless all those people who, who do that for
exactly
a living every day.
Yeah.
So Rutledge, the tiny little town that I'm from, had a firehouse, which was kind of weird, but they did. But they never went to fires. They were always go. So like,
what are the streets in Rutledge?
Was that on Park Street?
No, it was definitely not Lincoln either, or Evergreen or University or Michigan or whatever. It was actually, it's on Sylvan Avenue and Unity Terrace. And if there was a fire, Garden City, which is in Wallingford, they would go to the fire, and then Rutledge would go cover Garden City. Or Morton would go to the fire, and then Rutledge would go cover Morton. And I'm like, well, that stinks. You're just, you know, house sitting, essentially.
Hey, I have a firefighter who just left it, and I believe, hang on a second.
Is that really real?
Going to go to line 4, and it's Lieutenant Dan, actually.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
Hey, Lieutenant Dan.
I've never heard that before.
I'm sure you haven't. You're just going to get it for the rest of your life, that's all. So, listen, what fire company are you with, Dan?
I work at Engine Company 7.
Okay, and tell us about that particular fire and the scene and where we are now.
Well, it was just all metal and scrap and a lot of plastics, and I don't know what that lady says because I'm driving home in my truck and all I smell is that.
Okay.
Well, also, Lieutenant Dan, when you have to know this as a firefighter, that different things burn and create noxious and poisonous gases like various plastics. So that's a big concern, is it not?
And it was all the smoke was packed down real low in the streets because of the humidity levels last night, and like we were right at Tulip and Somerset streets, which was like the part of the fire, and it was kind of gross.
But let me ask you, because we're hearing a lot of people assess it as one of the biggest blazes they've seen, would you say that that's pretty correct
for outside?
Yeah,
you know, for outside fires, yeah, it was pretty big because it was covered a large area of the junkyard.
Okay, all right, cool. So, you've been up all night? You've been working all night on that?
Yeah, and I got to go back in tonight.
Oh man!
All right. Well, hang in there, brother. Thanks
for the
call.
I'm going to give you the day off.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, Steve's giving you the day off.
Just tell him Steve said it was okay.
Yeah, right. I think any fire company will respect my decision.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
you. All right, guys.
Thanks, Lieutenant Dan.
Thank you for what you do.
Yeah. Let me go next to, hang on a second. I have a ton of firefighters are on call now. Let me go to Tony, firefighter for 10 years, explains the alarm systems. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, man?
So, two things. I was just getting into the fire service with the Conshohocken fire.
Yeah.
Big apartment fire. That was a huge fire that had multi-county response to it.
Wow.
So you had Chester, Philly, you had Montgomery County, obviously.
Wow.
You had anyone and everyone that was around for that. And you had the country guys that we call with tankers that literally just haul water around, working down in the city of Conshohocken there to assist the main crews down there. But the other thing, you guys are talking about the alarm systems, how those go out. So in most areas, the first dispatch for a fire is typically the first alarm.
Okay.
So the second alarm is your second dispatch with all your additional units on it, which are broken up into box cars or run cars.
Okay, so that can be from the same ladder company or whatever?
Yeah, so depending if it's just a normal what we call room contents fire, like a bedroom fire or something.
Yep.
It's, you know, an engine and a ladder that go on it, typically in an office there or two. But then they'll upgrade it, and they'll either say fill the assignment or fill the box out.
Okay.
And that'll bring out all the additional on that. So an extra engine, an extra ladder, maybe a rescue unit for the rapid intervention guys.
All right, so they need more. They call it in, and that's a second alarm.
Yeah, so the second alarm is additional stuff. And then when they go to the third and fourth, it's not necessarily bringing in equipment to fight the fire. This third, fourth, fifth is mostly just bringing in extra personnel to relieve the guys that are there.
Okay.
What's the biggest fire you've been on? Was it that initial fire, that Conshohocken fire?
No, so I was down outside of Reading for a while, and we had a, I think it was an apartment or some sort of warehouse apartment kind of complex that went up to a fourth alarm. And I was on my way in to work on the ambulance, and they said, you're not going on the ambulance, you're going on the rescue truck to relieve the guys up in the fire. And they were there for probably like 16, 17 hours working on this fire, because they just couldn't get to it.
I know that obviously the gear that you wear is meant to, you know, help you go into the area that's burning and resist the heat. But even still, there's only so long you can be exposed to it. I mean, how soon before you're fighting a fire, do you start to, even with all that protection on, do you start to feel the warmth or the heat coming through?
So depending on the fire and what it is, like if it's a big fire, it's a lot of heat, and you're in there for maybe a couple minutes before you actually start feeling it.
Yeah.
We wear what we call Nomex hoods around our head to protect our face, you know, the back of our head, our ears, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you typically feel the heat on your ears, and once you start feeling your ears burn, and you know you're in pretty good heat. But the gear, what we call, you know, bunker gear, is only rated for a certain temperature for a certain amount of time before it's, you know, not useful anymore. And that's when you got to back out. That's why you see a lot of firefighters on the shoulder straps with this color gear, is because the fire gets too hot for the gear itself and actually starts breaking down the protective layer.
Yeah, the material.
To that point, how reusable is that gear? Once you've gone into a fire and fought a fire with that gear, does it render it less useful then? Do you have to get rid of it? Do you have to refurb it?
Yes and no, depending on company policy and manufacturer specifications on the gear. Some manufacturers, when you have discoloration of the gear from heat like that, not necessarily actually burning it, you know, directly with fire, but just heat, it actually gets rendered completely useless because the protective layer, the outer layer of that gear, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't have the material to protect you from that.
Yeah, it just burns off.
Yep.
Pretty much so. A lot of times you get big fire like that, guys go through gear, they either have to send it out to get it repaired or they have to get issued new gear because you know, it's useless at that point.
Okay. Yeah, I think of pressing astronauts returning, you know, and going through the you know, the heat shields on the capsule coming in, and so that's designed to protect them from the heat, but after a while
they're gonna only do so much.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, thanks, man. I appreciate it, brother.
No problem.
We'll see you later. Hey, by the way, I want to remind you that there are, because I got an email from another fire company the other day that they do some of these places will do camps for kids where they can come and train and go through the program on how to become a volunteer firefighter, and they'll walk you through a lot of it. Maybe give you an idea of later on down the road, you know, you want to be a volunteer firefighter.
It's a noble thing to do.
But it's a fun thing for you to take your kids to go and do, and they go through the program. And a lot of them are free.
Yeah.
Totally free of charge. So check with your local fire company about
that. My cousin is a career firefighter in Philadelphia now, and it's something that he's always wanted to do. I think he was a volunteer firefighter as early as he could be. You know, it was like 14 or 15 years old at Rutledge. And then, you know, had volunteered for years and years and years, and then finally was able to do that. But my uncle, my grandfather, all Philadelphia firefighters. Wow. Me, I sit in a chair and I make fart sounds.
But that helps as well.
You're good at it.
Yes.
And you slumber.
It helps them. How many departments are paid?
That's a good question.
Versus voluntary.
Don't know. Don't know.
Well, the city's
a lot
paid.
Of them. Yeah, cities are paid. And a lot, like, you know.
I think most of the counties are not paid.
They're volunteer.
Well, all right.
Do you want to ask what firefighter
is?
Please,
let's do it. Damn it.
Let me go to
we have questions.
Lieutenant McMahon, is that you?
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, what's up, Lieutenant?
Hey, guys. And to answer your question, about 70 to 75% of all fire departments in the United States are volunteer.
Okay. 70 to 75%.
It's amazing. Wow, it's amazing. Man.
Yeah, so there's roughly about 1.2 million firefighters in the nation. So 75% of them are 70% of them are roughly volunteers.
Okay. Wow. Which one are you?
I'm a volunteer.
You're a volunteer. And for what company?
Yeah. East Greenwich Fire and Rescue in Gloucester County.
Okay.
I've been a firefighter for 26 years now.
Wow. That's amazing.
I joined when I was a senior in high school.
Okay. Well, real quick.
Go ahead.
Is there anybody in your fire company that is paid?
No. My station and most of all the surrounding stations are volunteer. There are a few have part-time paid, towns like Mantua and Woodbury. And then there's towns like Washington Township and Deptford who have paid day crews. But volunteer, it's a partial company, so it's partially paid, partial volunteer. But the paid guys are only on during the day.
Okay.
So, like, definitely I know they work from, like, I think it's like 6 to 6 or something like that.
Hey, how much of your time does it take? Because you got to work a full-time job to pay your bills. But how much of your free time does it take up during the month, let's say, for example?
I mean, not too much, depending on the call volume. We've been a little busy lately. So just for some reason, I don't know why we've been really killing it this year. Sorry for the pun. We've been having been like a bad season or bad year, a lot of runs and stuff,
right.
But I mean, a couple hours a week, you know, on average. I mean, we train once a week, on ours is particular night is a Tuesday, so it's like 3 or 4 hours of training. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's some mandatory stuff we have to do. You have to go into a live burn at a training center at least once a year. You have to be fitted for the SCBA unit you wear. You have to be tested to wear it.
Do you have to purchase it yourself? Do you have to purchase your own?
No.
Okay.
No. That's way too cost prohibitive.
Okay. All right.
I mean, yeah, you're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
All right. Yeah.
It's the fire company does that. As a matter of fact, our fire company just got a federal grant and got all new SCBA units and all new fire gear.
All right.
Well, and we went from black to tan for one of the reasons is the heat and the sun. Black gear in the sun kind of warms up. So
Chief
was like, hey, let's go. We changed up to tan gear. So it's a little more, it's a little bit cooler in the heat out in the sun.
Well, in that case, why don't you switch to shorts?
Legs that way.
Yeah.
Nice. Real
hard. It's interesting stuff, man. And, you know, how are you guys with volunteers? I mean, can you guys always use people?
We're absolutely every. As a matter of fact, I'm the chairman for our recruiting committee at my station. And, you know, everyone's always working on videos, trying to get, you know, firemen. You know, we find out there's we have a few paid firemen that live in our town. They work in another town. We try to get them. As a matter of fact, my chief, my deputy chief, my captain are all paid firemen in other towns.
Mm-hmm.
And they're volunteers in our town. You guys were asking about the alarms.
Yeah.
The way it works is certain towns, everyone sets up their alarms certain ways. So like a first alarm for us on, say, a dwelling or a building fire is automatically four stations, four or five stations.
Four stations respond on a first alarm.
Well, in our case, it would be our town and for the three or four of the surrounding towns. So in our case, I'll give you an example. We run with Woolwich and Harrison Township a lot. Shout out to Task Force 67. That's our group. And so if there's an alarm in Woolwich, if there's an alarm in Harrison that's not a minor alarm, say like simple fire alarm, CO alarm, stuff like that, they're going to do it by themselves. If it's a dwelling, a building fire, something like that,
It's automatic. All three stations get dispatched.
Thank God you can remember
see,
it.
See, this is why you wouldn't want me as a volunteer firefighter.
I'd be going home.
I can't even figure this stuff out.
Yeah,
if it turns out to be nothing, everyone goes home.
Right.
That's what I'd be doing.
Steve,
it's nothing.
I appreciate it, but it's not as simple as we thought it was as far as what the alarm system is. So.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
I'm going home. It's nothing.
Yeah, but if we get there, there's the next box is the all hands box, which usually brings an additional couple of companies and puts some cover companies in place to cover everyone who's there, and then after that, it goes to your full second alarm, and then again, every alarm has, you get an engine out of this company, a ladder out of this company. It's not always full company responses. Some of it.
I'm going to have to tell you that we are lost. We're completely lost. We're completely lost.
Lieutenant,
you talk, the more complex it seems to us.
Yeah, you're going to have to stop now.
We just celebrate your ability to understand it laud you for your courage.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And volunteer. That's exactly
why you don't. Yes, but be smart.
To volunteer.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
It would be a flaming inferno everywhere you went. I mean, we can't even understand the bell system. Can you imagine the alarm system?
God, when I was a kid, I used to get excited just hearing this. Squad 51. We have a fire and blah, 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 blah. That'd be me on the mic.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, anyhow, well, apparently they got that fire under control in Kensington, or somebody who really has a flag up their butt. A flag up their butt?
Yeah. <new one. laughs>
I don't even know what was it supposed to be.
Stick up their ass.
Flag.
It's more patriotic, Preston.
A flag up their butt.
He's got a flag up his butt.
Oh, dude. No, it was.
I recall seeing a brave young man with the flag up his butt. He ran towards that fire. His name was Johnny Flagbutt.
No. Where did I get the flag? Like the word flag? Nothing. I was like,
I was like, it flies. Is he going for flag?
A flag stick or something?
What kind of flag is that? That's Peru. That's the flag of Peru?
No. So this guy's got a flag up his butt. It's actually in Port Richmond.
Okay.
Not Kensington. I live in the neighborhood. It drives me bat-ass crazy. And now I've got a flag up my butt.
We'll unfurl that.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow.
Be proud.
Yeah. We have to take a break. That's what we're going to do right now. We'll come back in just a moment or two. If you haven't heard about our secret text word, I'll tell you about that when we get back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We just got a chance to try the an acai bowl.
Yes!
And Nick, where did we get this wonderful treat from?
Sobol.
Sobol.
Or Sobol.
Okay.
Which is it? Sobol.
Sobol.
Good to know you.
I get it.
What's your information? Where are they from?
MySobol.com, and it's at Chestnut and 17th and Chestnut.
Yeah. Chestnut.
In Center City. It's delicious.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Good.
I like it that. Acai bowl a lot. I don't care for the name.
No?
I think it's a little hoity-toity.
Okay.
I think it could be a little more simple than that.
Fruit and crap.
There you go.
Whoa.
I got my fruit and crap bowl. No, on hindsight, no.
That's problematic.
It's the name of the berry. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kathy, I'll have you know, I have acai smoothies all the time.
But there's also bananas and strawberries. And Nick, yes. It's got coconut on it.
You know,
how dare you?
Normally, I am anti-coconut. That's However, good. In this acai bowl, it adds a little bit of texture, which I approve of.
Now, you could put a peanut butter or other protein elements into it, but it is it's a delicious, cool treat.
It's really good. The berries seem to be a cross between a blueberry and a raspberry taste-wise. That's what I got from it on initial taste.
What's the deal? Are they, like, heart healthy, or, like, why acai and not a blueberry?
Yeah, it's one of those, like, superfoods, you know, like a blueberry kind of is. And, Steve, I've had them with Nutella in them as well.
Yes, very good.
Delicious. Nice.
Sorry, I have it in my mouth, but it actually is a wonderful,
really good
taste. Yes,
that could replace a meal right there.
Absolutely.
Instead of it tastes like a.
It is.
The whole bowl's like the guys were telling me about 450 calories. So that's a meal right there.
Yes,
that's enough to fill you up. So thank you, Soul Bowl. Nice job, 17th and Chestnut. Thank you for coming by this morning and dropping that off. Toot sweet. We had no idea that was going to happen, but that did come together. Hey, I want to mention this. We made an announcement earlier for these guys that are fighting the battle, but they're losing the war. The comb over, the hair bald on top, hair all the way around. You know the look. You know exactly what we're talking about. And they're hanging on to it. They have too much hair on the sides. Let's go ahead and just shave that off. Let's just rip that Band-Aid right off right now and give a new look. And if you don't like it, you can go back to the Dr. Phil look if you want, but at least try it out. And that's what we're doing. And we want you to intervene on this. So, I mean, we don't want volunteers. We want people who need.
Because they won't do it themselves.
They won't do it
themselves.
They
need you standing before them crying.
To nudge them and send them in our direction. So what you need to do is send the person's email address and their information to nick@wmmr.com. A picture would be great. And a description of your relationship as to why this is important to both you and this person. Nick@WMMR.com. We are doing the comb-over intervention.
Mind you, it might not be important to this person because they may be so ignorant to how hideous it looks.
They might not know.
That's why you can help them. And if they are, and Preston, you're right, it's few and far between now that you see the full comb-over.
Yeah.
There's less of those. But if you know someone who has the full dumbass comb-over, someone rocking a Giuliani, by all means, you know, let us know.
Yeah. And if they have the long hair, if they kept it long, but they have the big bald area on top, let us know.
Well, the guy can't be bald. He's got a long ponytail.
Right. Exactly. speaking of bad looks, I saw this study, a UK beach vacation specialist called On the Beach surveyed 100 people. They found 99% of women said that they wouldn't want to be seen with their male partner if he was wearing a Speedo bathing suit.
Yeah.
I think these might be more prevalent in Europe.
Yes, they are.
Than they are here.
Well, they get more adventurous. The guys, Europeans are traditionally more.
It's okay there.
Banana boatish.
But this was done in the UK, I mean, which is, you know.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
It's European as
That's
well.
That's the United Kingdom.
That is the United Kingdom. But they're saying 99% of women surveyed said that they would not want their man wearing a Speedo. Kathy, you ever seen anybody that's a flattering look on?
Oh, flattering? Well, my father wore a Speedo my entire life.
No, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep, 100%. And
he's Italian.
At some point, my mom was like, the kids are getting older. Like, you have to stop doing this. So we actually, it's a great story. We were in Sea Isle and we bought him. So I bought him a bathing suit when I forget where I was, somewhere in Europe. And I bought him like a smaller bathing suit. It wasn't a Speedo. It was still shorts, but it was just a little bit shorter. He's like, they're so long. They go down to your knee. It's so bulky. And so he had that on. We were like, good. Like, you look better wearing that. And he goes, I'm going to go swimming in the ocean. And he ripped off the shorts and he had a Speedo underneath. And he was like, I just can't do it. And he ran in the Speedo into the ocean.
That's so funny.
Yeah, my whole life he wore a Speedo. He doesn't anymore, but
I was on the swim team and we had to swim in Speedos. And I just, even, there was a point in my life where I got chubby and fat. And there was a point where I was actually thin.
Yeah. And even when I was thin, I didn't like wearing the Speedo. And it was like one of those deals where it's like, oh, all right, kind of like your dad, Kath. I would wear shorts over them when it was time to get up on the starting block, take the shorts off, do my race, and then come back and put them back on. I couldn't stand it. As a diver, and I dove until I was 18 years old.
Yeah, everybody wore them.
I did not.
Oh, you did? You wore the shorts?
I wore either a bathing suit or lacrosse shorts. I just...
Well, and now that's what they have. They have the longer mid-thigh and sometimes down to the knee, like tight bathing suits for the swim team and the divers.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
That's definitely better. I think I've told you guys this story before, but when I was a kid, we were at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We went there for vacation, and the entertainment at the hotel we stayed at was none other than Philadelphia's own Chubby Checker.
Ah.
Yeah. And Chubby, who is a world traveler... was out on the beach, you know, during the daytime.
Showing his chubby?
Not only was he wearing, it wasn't a Speedo, dude was wearing a G-string.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
I
kid you not, man. And
so just like, just like a pouch over his junk?
And a string up his butt. And like he's on his hands and knees building a sandcastle with his kid.
Oh, man.
And
so you could see the chubby tunnel.
It was it was like the talk of the hotel. Bent over, butt up in the air, the whole thing.
That's no listen. And I love Chubby Checker.
Of course
certainly
you do.
He's a legend. I don't want to see Chubby's bunghole.
And that was in the 1970s, probably, when that happened. So it was very, very adventurous. Hang on a second. James, where's the Speedo? Hey James, how you doing? James, are you there? Yeah, we lost him.
He took the phone away from him. Yeah.
Well, the men's bathing suits are getting smaller, though, now.
They are.
So, I don't like it. So they've gone from below the knees, like gigantic.
Yeah, remember? They were almost like pants.
Sure, exactly. And now, they're more mid-thigh.
Mid-thigh, yeah.
So the ones that I have are just above my knees, maybe a little bit more.
That's about right. That's that's a standard, proper bathing suit. If you look at, say, Sean Connery, there's a classic picture of him in the movie Goldfinger.
Yeah.
And he's wearing his bathing suit.
It's like hot pants, right?
They're sort of like hot pants.
Yeah.
That's a little too high.
Yeah. I have this bathing suit. I have four of them. And they're Speedo bathing suits, but they're not Speedos. They're like, it just looks like a regular bathing suit, but then they have like a spandex lining underneath. They're the best bathing suits I've ever owned in my entire life.
I think just regular pants.
Yeah.
Are just great.
Like jeans.
Just regular jeans.
Yeah.
Like what Patrick Swayze might wear in a river.
Because if you go down to... If you go to...
What? I'm just thinking. I usually judge. What would Patrick Swayze do? That's my personal mantra.
You just gave me a great idea. I own a swimming pool. I could go jump in fully clothed if I wanted
do
to.
Do it.
Just for fun and see what it's like. I've never done that before.
You'll have the time of your life.
I know what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Dude, put a suit on.
Yeah. What?
Just put
like a try out like different clothing.
Not a bathing suit.
A three-piece
suit. Yeah, a three-piece suit.
A swim suit.
I like it. I like it. Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Mike. It just says Chubby Checker. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. What's up, Mike?
Chubby Checker's living faithfully.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yes?
You've captured him.
Have you seen him with the
I have
on?
Him.
And my brother actually camped in his backyard.
Your brother camped in his backyard? That's not legal.
I don't know. They were at some concert, and Chubby Checkers was there, and they had nowhere to stay, and Chubby Checkers, they didn't even know who he was.
By the way, just to let you know, Mike, it's not plural, it's not Checkers, it's Chubby Checker. And you just wanted to share that he lived in Paoli?
Attaboy.
All right, thanks.
I think he's burying Chubby right now.
Attaboy.
Not the point of the conversation.
I'm not burying him right now. I just killed him with a shovel.
All right.
Oh, my God.
There's
a lot going on in the background there.
Yeah, let me go to Lorraine. Hi, Lorraine. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. What's up, Lorraine?
So it actually sews his own thong bathing suit.
Your husband?
Yes.
Sews his own thong bathing suits.
Yes, and they are getting smaller and smaller.
Can you do us a favor and send us a picture of him in one?
I will, and you'll absolutely love it.
Is it like a mesh, or what is it like?
No, it's typically like a shiny yellow material. And he's an attorney, and will go on like business development trips and he'll like put it on and he'll say, "You think I could get away with it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sure you could." People just stare at him up and down.
So, Lorraine, are you embarrassed? Do you find it funny? What's your take on that when he puts on his yellow thong?
I find it funny and similar to how Kathy felt when she was a kid. I don't care for him to do it around his daughters.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can really see through it.
It seems like it appeals to the exhibitionist. That they're basically one step away from just taking it all off. Mm. And at that point, just do that.
By the way,
he is 59 years old.
Right. It seems to be older guys that like to wear these.
They just, it's an effort attitude. Yeah. And I think if your balls leave a track in the sand, you're too old to be to be doing that.
You're right. And the funny thing is, he's not real, like, well endowed.
Oh, my God.
Right. So what are you showing off?
Is he in good shape? Yeah.
What's that?
Is he in good shape?
Yeah, he's one of those tall, skinny guys.
Okay, well, then that's probably it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not
but
well
I did
endowed.
Say to him at one point.
He's not well endowed. He's not a good lover. He's he keeps to himself. No, I understand what you're saying. To me, it's just there's something, and perhaps it's wrong of me to do it, but I naturally make assumptions about a guy who's. Like, it's just weird. To me, it looks weird. Maybe you can live and let live if that's your dear thing. But, you know, to me, it'd be like, that looks weird. I don't know if I want to go in the water, you know,
well, you could say the same thing for some women that wear really, really, really skimpy bathing suits.
No, that's totally fine.
No, that should not be wearing.
Oh, no, you're right. Yes, you know you're exactly right. Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, look at her. You know, don't wear that. And not that you're body shaming anyone, but your choice of attire just doesn't fit your body type.
Yeah, I agree with live and let live. But well, God bless you for chuckling. Yeah.
Can I add something really quickly?
Sure.
So I moved to Colorado 8 years ago, and I listened to you guys all the time. Uh-huh. And Steve, when you first created that Thanksgiving skit,
years ago,
you selected my son Brandon to do it with you guys, and. You're like my friends.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you listening to us over the years. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Happy thong.
Take care, Lorraine. We'll see you later.
Happy sea thong.
Lorraine with the husband with a small penis. Let me go to Steve. Says something else here. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Dad Zooks,
buddy. What's up?
I wear a Speedo because, I was going to be honest here, kind of an ugly guy, but I got a big
you have a big penis.
So you're either average or below average looking, and you wear this to show off your biggest asset.
Yeah, I mean, like, women show off cleavage. You can be like, oh, she's got a butterface.
Dude, I totally hear you. Right. Listen, I you're playing to your strength, and I would not argue with that. What are we talking about? Give us the metric system, if you can.
I'm 13 inches.
Wow.
Shut up.
No, you're not.
So, I'm on the radio. It's not like I'm going to get anything. Why would I lie?
Do me a favor and send a picture. It's Kathy at WMMR. No. But listen, he's right, though. He's playing to his strength. And there you go.
I have a lazy eye. I have a lazy eye. I have a birthmark. I'm not getting laid unless I walk around the street and go, look, lady, we can turn the lights off.
Does it work?
Huh?
Does it work?
It's worked.
Yeah, it's worked.
So you've picked up women simply from wearing the Speedo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was one of them named Lorraine by any chance?
All right, Steve. I'm a little skeptical, but thank you for calling in, okay?
I'll come over later and show you.
All right, please be in the parking lot. We'll be waiting.
Ron Jeremy, I saw an interview with him one time. He is 9 3/4.
Yeah.
And that's big.
Yeah.
And this dude's 13. I don't know.
I don't know. He's Ron Jeremy plus me.
Hi-oh!
Hey!
I'm going to go to... Let me go to Ben here. Hi, Ben. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Great. What's up, Ben?
Hey, like Kathy, my grandfather, when I was a kid, and actually up to this day, he's 84 years old. Still wears a G-string.
Oh, God. Yes. So, Ben, is he in exemplary shape, or does he jump?
Can't say that, buddy. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's that to me is that's you can't argue with someone just saying what the hell, but I don't know if I want to see that at the beach, and I don't know if kids want to see that.
It's just only the idea of crammed up my
put it this way: there has been times he's riding a riding lawnmower, mowing his lawn, and he's actually caused accidents because people thought he's naked.
I mean, yeah, of course. Who's not going to look at an 84-year-old in a thong?
Oh, yeah, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Hey, I got a text from Shan, Chubby Checker's son.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no.
He says, hey, I'm in Aspen, Colorado. He said, and I'm telling my dad about your storytelling. He said, so funny, bro. That G-string was handmade, yet very disturbing. Another handmade bathing suit.
What is it? Who makes their bathing suits?
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Hey, ask Shan if anybody ever camped in Chubby's backyard.
Yeah, I should.
Well, they are now.
a couple of people said that basically what I said earlier is body shaming. Who am I? Who are you, Preston, to decide what someone else should wear? Worry about your own self.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know. We all have opinions about some. We see people wearing stuff. We're like,
that just
does not work for you. That doesn't make you look any better.
Body shaming is if you're looking at someone and you're talking to someone specifically right on and you're shaming that person. But in general, you can say it does look a little weird. Mm-hmm. It would not be inappropriate to say someone should probably not wear a thong to a wake or something. Or certain body types lend themselves to certain clothing.
I will look better with my beard when it grows back in. Yeah. I do realize that now. So plenty of people let me know that. I guess, whatever.
Well, and there are obvious places where a Speedo makes sense. At the beach, I wouldn't personally wear one. But to mow your lawn, a little weird. And then we had a guy in my neighborhood who walked dogs in his Speedo.
Seriously?
Yeah, I've talked about him. We called him Psycho Mike.
Was that part of the service?
No, but I mean,
I'll walk your dog in a Speedo.
You would just see him walking around in the neighborhood. You're like, hey guys, good afternoon, everybody.
Is you the service that walks the dogs in the Speedo?
He had a high pitched voice like that. Well, hang on, let me go to Lane. Hi, Lane, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's
Hi,
up,
guys?
Hey, what's up, Blake?
I'd like to say, first of all, that we get some of our Puritan ideas about what to wear from the UK, so I can understand that poll.
Right.
But I want to say that my husband is European, and when I first met him, he came to, we went to the Jersey Shore. And my family was going to be there, my mother, my father, everyone. And he took his pants off and had a Speedo on underneath. And he is, or was, well endowed. And I looked at him and I said, you can't wear that in front of my mother. And he just looked at me and said, why?
And your mother said, the hell he can.
And they all wear them. They all wear bikinis, no matter how big, no matter how small. Women too.
Yep.
They have bellies. They get old. Whatever. They all wear two pieces. All the women.
No,
I look like a nun in my one piece bathing suit.
You're right, and it's always been the case that it's sort of been.
Thanks,
you know, it's known that European beaches are a lot more adventurous. There's a lot more topless stuff going
Certainly.
On. A lot more nudity, and maybe it's a better way to think of things. But it to us. To a lot of us,
yeah.
Like I would look horrible in a Speedo.
You know, like a nude beach and so forth. That's if you know that is that's the norm, and you're not shocked at seeing it because that's where it's supposed to be. I wouldn't actually mind. I wouldn't have a problem walking around naked on a nude beach. I wouldn't do it because I think I'd get sunburn on my genitals, which would suck because I burn very, very easily. And imagine how bad that would feel.
Red Rocket.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never, though, it's, you know, if you ever go to, there was a nude beach in Fire Island, you know, the classic, one of the first nude beaches, nude areas. Mm-hmm. It's never what you think it is.
Well, people who go to nude beaches don't go there to look at naked people.
They
go
not.
There to, because they're for some reason, they
nature.
They feel freer.
That's it.
Nude out, outside. So interesting, but that was a poll, and we're in the height of swimsuit season, and apparently Speedos women generally don't think they look good on guys, according to that particular.
You know what they do like, though?
Poll. What?
Guys who put flags up their butt.
Oh,
they think that's about that super already. Hot.
Got a flag up his butt. Somebody had a flag up their butt about body shaming.
Body shaming.
All right. And with that, I'd like to remind you that we're looking for Philly's hottest swimsuit. So, ladies, if you do have a swimsuit that you think flatters your appearance and you'd like to possibly win some money and some jewelry and a professional photo shoot and all that stuff, you need to send the pictures to us. And if you know someone who should be in this contest, you should urge them to do that as well. And you can click on contest at WMMR.com to get all the details and to send your photos. Get on that as soon as possible because you never know. You might end up in the pages of the presidency totally off his calendar.
Quite possibly.
It's happened on many occasions. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second and we will get into the bizarre file when we return. So make sure you stay with us.
MMR, everything that rocks, even a little thrash metal. Get ready for Slayer, July 31st at the Pavilion at Montage Mountain in Scranton. Bring it on! From a lacerated sky! MMR has an exclusive, rare opportunity for you to meet the band. You get a hotel room for the night, and you get VIP parking and free water park passes, and you get pit passes for the show, a signed Slayer guitar, and you meet the band. Here's how to enter.
Post a video doing your best.
Slayer!
To Twitter or Instagram. Use hashtag WMMR Slayer Contest. Here's the catch. You gotta do it in a very unslayer-like location. And don't piss off your neighbors or the police.
Entry deadline Thursday, July 12th. Complete details at WMMR.com. Tickets are on sale now via LiveNation.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, so some more stories from the Bizarre File of what we have prepared for you now. Let's get to that immediately.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get right into this. I have a story. This is messed up, too, man. A concerned expert and a grieving family member have raised concerns over polar bear tours after a father was killed while protecting his children. A guy named Aaron Gibbons was killed by a polar bear outside of the hamlet of Arviat. This is in Canada.
Okay.
Gibbons' uncle Gordy said that his nephew protected his girls by telling them to run to a nearby boat while he put himself between them and the bear.
Wow.
Yeah, he saved their lives.
What kind of tour is this?
Well, this wasn't a tour, but what they're saying are that polar bear tours in this area are bringing the bears in closer to people.
Are they baiting them to come into the area?
I'm not sure. But
because there are polar bear like paths that they will follow seasonally, right. And sometimes the tours go along that area.
They're saying that they're getting people too close to them. And
they're getting too comfortable?
They're getting too comfortable. So this guy saved his kids' lives, their lives. Gibbons was out with his children for a walk at the time, and some other families were with him. When they were on the island walking around, a bear surprised them. The bear had started to stalk the children.
Oh, boy.
Because bears will do that. The children made it to the boat and made a panic call back home on the CB radio that was there, and they were explaining what was happening. The girls were unharmed, but of course they were crying over the radio. Medical professionals arrived on the scene and pronounced Gibbons dead. They had to put the bear down immediately. The bear was still there, but just a messed up story. So.
They're magnificent. They're beautiful. They look wonderful, but they are deadly.
Oh, my God, yes. You see them in the zoo and they're swimming and stuff like that.
They're adorable. Yes.
Yeah. Playing with the ball.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you ever, they're huge.
They're just massive. They're the largest bears,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are, right?
The Kodiak is the second largest.
Man. All right, a different story out of Canada, a little less intense than that one. Police say that a man in Ontario whose Uber Eats McDonald's order turned out to be an unhappy meal on Canada Day called 911 to report an allegedly cold burger and fries. Police say the irate man decided to take his complaint to the nearby McDonald's location where the order originated, and a dispute then erupted over who was to blame. The restaurant.
What the f- is this?
Yeah, he walked up to the counter and he said,
"What the f- is this?"
He's holding it in his hand,
throws it on the counter.
He throws it on the counter.
What the f- is that?
Yeah. So who is at fault? The restaurant staff or the driver of the Uber Eats delivery service?
This guy has a flag up his ass.
Yeah. A police spokesperson said he was extremely upset.
Of course he was.
There was a communication between the
officers. It's not like you can heat it up at home.
Between the officers and the individual, they brought him to an understanding that it wasn't a police matter. And they added that the fast food fracas serves as a reminder to the public that 911 is for emergencies and not
what
a means
f- is this?
To lodge meal-related complaints. No charges were brought against the man, but improper use of 911 could result in charges of public mischief. Baby raccoons.
Adorable.
They are adorable. But you should never handle one or bring one home, not even if it appears to have been abandoned by its mother.
I was feeding a bag of them to a polar bear.
A aww. Colorado woman learned that lesson the hard way. She found out, she found what she thought was an orphaned raccoon on her property north of Denver, and she brought it into her house. Soon, her friends found out, and suddenly everybody wanted to see the cute little raccoon baby. Eventually, 20 friends dropped over to gawk at the critter. Unfortunately, the raccoon tested positive for rabies on Monday.
Aww.
And now the woman and all 20 of her friends must get post-exposure prophylaxis against the disease, which left left untreated can be fatal.
Well, then the raccoon had to be put down, correct?
I would imagine rabies is eventually going to kill it, I would think. Typically, rabies is passed from animals to humans through bites, but it is possible to contract it if the animal's saliva touches a wound or even a small scratch on a person.
You know, it's funny. The neighbors are less likely to come over when you have a rabid raccoon in your house.
Yeah, none of the 21 people exposed has come down with the disease yet. A vaccination is very effective in treating rabies if the vaccine is administered before the symptoms appear. So the County Department of Public Health and Environment learned about the case from an animal shelter the woman had contacted in the hope that it could take the animal. The shelter declined, and they called the public health department, which in turn asked the woman if they could test it for rabies, which it was positive for.
I was told a family story about raccoons the other day that I'd never heard before, and okay. I will share it with you guys at some point. I don't know when the appropriate time for that is, but if and when we talk about raccoons down the road.
Can you jot it down? Because yeah. I want to hear it.
Yeah, okay.
You have some good animal stories.
Yeah.
A woman walked into her residence Friday morning and found a man in bed with a hatchet and his pants down and his hands on his penis.
Everything's right.
Michael Robert McLean was arrested on suspicion of aggravated burglary. Officers were called on a report of a burglary. An investigation revealed the man entered the house and was lying in bed with his pants down with his genitals in his right hand and a hatchet in his left.
Come here.
The woman, he actually was asleep, believe it or not.
Was he?
Yeah. The woman called for her husband to get the man out of the house. The homeowner then attempted to wake up the man.
A hand on my penis.
To get him out of the house. And because he was in fear for his life, the homeowner struck the man in the head with his handgun and a fight began.
Yeah, handgun beats the hatchet.
They found the defendant, he fought the defendant out of the bedroom, through the kitchen, and outside the house. The homeowner chased McLean out of the house, and when McLean took an offensive stance and came at the homeowner, he fired one shot into the ground. The suspect fled behind a rear detached garage and came back toward the residence. The homeowner then fired another shot into the ground, and the man ran away at this point. Police found McLean on the sidewalk, bleeding from the head. McLean was treated at a local hospital and then booked into jail on charges.
So he climbed into the house and passed out.
I guess so. With a hatchet in one
hand. With a hatchet and his penis in the other.
And his penis in the other. And that's how it worked out. All right. And then we have time for one more story. Let's see. A court in Egypt sentenced a Lebanese tourist to 8 years in prison on Saturday for posting a video on Facebook that was critical of the country. Mona El Masbo was at the airport in Cairo as she was set to leave Egypt at the end of her stay last month when she was arrested over a 10-minute video that went viral in which she complained about sexual harassment by taxi drivers and men in the street, poor restaurant service, and money being stolen from her, calling Egypt a, quote, son-of-a-bitch country.
And so they figured the best way to fight those accusations was to throw her in jail for 8 years.
For 8 years. The 24-year-old was found guilty of deliberately spreading false rumors that would harm society, attacking religion, and public indecency. And appeals court will hear the case later this month.
Mm.
What a progressive society over there.
It's just wonderful.
All right, and there you go. That's what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Let us take a break. And, Kathy, we got to get a winner for the secret text word. And I put it to you to give me a number, caller.
Nine.
Caller nine at 215-263-WMMR. See if you know the secret text word. We'll come back in a moment and find out. More on the way. Stay with us.
And Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
93.3 WMMR. Saturday Night Rocks. Thank you to whoever texted in. I'll never leave your pizza burning. Yeah. I had not heard that version of that before.
I like that.
I like that, too. Beast of Burden from the Stones on MMR. It's 11 minutes after 10 o'clock. Preston and Steve Show. Get them ready to do our lesson question. But before that, we were looking for a winner of our secret text word. Kathy picked an amazing number this morning. Number 9.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you something in a moment that I almost did. I think you would have punched me.
Oh. About number 9?
If I were, no, it has nothing to do with number 9, but it has to do with Kathy. I want to get our winner first because I don't want him to hold on through the whole story. But let me go to caller number 9, and it's Ed. Hello there, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ed, I'm sure you have the secret text word. I just need to hear it from you. What is it?
That would be El Guapo.
El Guapo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tis correct. One moment, Ed, as we are going to give you tickets to see Evanescence with Lindsey Stirling at BB&T Pavilion Tuesday, July 17th. Some tickets remain via Ticketmaster.com. Is there any reason behind El Guapo this morning?
No.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
Sometimes there's a reason. Other times, it's random words.
They were showing the Three Amigos over the weekend.
Were they?
Yes,
where?
They were. In fact, it was on one of the regular movie channels, so it was unedited.
That's one of my favorites.
Mike Cassidy was a random texter, and he's from Percocet, and he will get the exact same thing. So enjoy the show. MMR rocking Evanescence with Lindsey Stirling, BB&T Pavilion, Tuesday, July 17th.
You know, I wish I could remember the name of the restaurant, but I had talked on the air about how I like to grill my burgers in the backyard, and I make it with a jalapeno peppers, and I put a little cheese bomb in there. And there's a restaurant in the city who made that burger, put it on their menu, and asked me to name it. And I named it El Guapo.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I wish I could remember
that. You don't remember the name of the restaurant?
No.
It really meant a lot to you.
It's a month ago.
Okay.
That's 4 weeks.
Okay.
That's a lot of time. Yes. You know how many minutes
that's
that
a
is?
A lot of weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing, I had an idea earlier in the week to do this to Kathy, but I think she would have punched me
okay
in the face.
It's a lot of things. All right, if let's
I
would have,
well, this I'll really do, right, would have done okay. it. I was gonna, as she's sitting there in a chair, I was gonna come up behind her and stand over her and shake my hair.
I would have punched you.
And
you.
Scratch my scalp and shake my hair over her head.
Shower yes. her in lice.
True, I would have punched you. You
Kathy,
were correct.
I would have actually held his arms back for you.
Let me punch him in the face. Yeah, I would have punched you for sure.
I have no lice. We fixed that problem, and I know it would have been safe to do it, but it would have freaked you out anyway.
Oh, my. I probably would have.
I told you that Man with the Plan, the Matt LeBlanc show, actually that night or the night after that had a whole episode about dealing with lice.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And how dirty the people are.
How dirty
shut
this
up.
Is.
Shut people up.
Live on the edge of society.
All right, we're going to do the lesson question. And today we're going to give away a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Let me see here. Let's go with if fish can sing a song about a sloth, they can also sing about what? Steve started singing a song they made up about something randomly. And what was it? If fish can sing a song about a sloth, they can also sing a song about what?
The band Fish.
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3-WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. Brought to you this morning by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come to and party with the ladies at Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Preston, as you reported, George Clooney recovering after Mercedes knocked him off his scooter while riding it on the Italian island of Sardinia. Pliny was reportedly launched 20 feet in the air, and doctors say his spatial injuries might leave him with only one career option, morning radio.
Oh, my God.
Justin Bieber did the right thing before proposing to Haley Baldwin by getting the approval of her dad, Stephen Baldwin. Bieber says the approval came easily, especially since he sweetened the deal by throwing in a sandwich and a cigarette.
Oh, my God.
Stephen's career not going too well. And finally, Caitlyn Jenner is rumored to be planning a proposal to girlfriend Sophia Hutchins with an $80,000 diamond ring. Caitlyn says the ring is very sentimental, as it used to be her favorite penis ring. That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. If fish can sing a song about a sloth, they can also sing a song about what? And I'm going to go to Sean and see if Sean knows the answer. Hey, Sean.
How you doing?
Good.
So, guys,
it's okay.
Hey, man, so what? If fish can sing a song about a sloth, they can also sing a song about what?
I would say sippy cup.
A sippy cup, yes. You're correct, sir. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information. And we are going to give you a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Rita's Gelati just got even better, the five-layer gelati. Try one of Rita's signature favorites or create your own. Endless possibilities. And available only in July. So create yours today at your Rita's.
What's on your Instagram feed there?
I'm sorry. I didn't, what? It's a video of Julianne Hough, the dancer. Dancing with the Stars. And she's,
I'd say so.
She's like, it's a video that she posted. It's her doing a dance routine, but it's her writhing all over the dance floor. And it's, I forgot on Instagram, if you leave it going.
It just keeps going.
It keeps going.
It's have you seen this? Did you watch it?
I only saw the beginning part of it, but she's a stunner. Let me just hang on a second.
Take it back to the beginning.
I better not do this now.
No?
Another time.
I'll do it for you.
All right, thank you. We should do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All righty, let's get into it immediately. We'll begin with Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker has filmed a video in which he updates fans on his recovery from health issues related to blood clots in his arms. It was revealed last month that Barker had been diagnosed with clots in each of his arms, with his condition also leading to Barker coming down with a staph infection and an infection of the skin called cellulitis.
Dear God.
Yeah, yeah. In the video, Barker says, "It's been the longest 4 weeks without playing drums. I played through two shows in Vegas with infection and blood clots before I was able to get the clear diagnosis from a doctor." The video begins with footage of him performing with Blink-182 and then goes inside a meeting with his doctor, who informs him of the diagnosis and says that he has to be monitored week by week. His condition forced Blink to postpone a number of shows that were part of its ongoing Las Vegas residency, but the dates are already in the process of being rescheduled. The band is now set to return to the stage on September 14th, at Chicago's Riot Fest. So hopefully he's going to be okay. Dave Grohl was asked this past weekend on CBS Sunday Morning about retirement. Dave said that he looks at every LP by the Foos as if it could be their last, saying, "It's weird. Ages ago, when I was a kid, my dad said, you know, this isn't going to last. Isn't going to last, right? Save every check like it's the last one you're ever going to make. Every time we make a Foo Fighters record, I think, well, if this was the last one, we had a good run, and it would have been great.
But it's lasting."
Absolutely. He also explained in the interview that one reason he's still recording and touring is that he gave up drugs when he was 20 years old. He said, "When I tell people that I've never done cocaine in my life, they think I'm lying." He said, "But I love music and I love life. To me, survival is the game. That's the hardest part. I just want to play music."
It's funny how you perceive, you know, years ago when you were, in your 20s and how you perceived life then and how you perceive it now. And the whole dynamic of retirement and what it means to keep working, especially if it's work that you love, you know, if it enriches your life, keep going.
Keep doing it. He told Sunday Morning that his biggest obstacle when he started Foo Fighters after Nirvana ended was becoming a singer. He said, "I wish that I could sing like John Lennon or Adele or Josh Groban or whatever. You know, I wish I could. But I was raised on some really dissident, noisy, crazy punk rock. It took me years to get over trying to be a lead singer. And it took me a while. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to belt it out." And then it started to get fun. So he's happy what he is doing. At least two members of System of a Down appear to be working together in a studio, even if the band itself does not have any plans in the immediate future to make a new album. Nevertheless, drummer John Dolmayan posted a photo on social media of bassist Chavo Odigidan jamming with a caption that read, "Great song ideas following from a very strong songwriter."
Kratos Pumatron?
He's not in it.
Oh.
And he said, "Stay tuned. No further details have been posted on what the two could have been doing." System have reportedly written some 15 new songs over the past few years. The band seems unable for some reason, for reasons that are not clear, to get into a studio and record a new album for the first time since 2005, though.
Years ago, when they came on the scene, they were on fire.
Yeah.
And we actually saw them at one of the Y100 festivals.
Yep.
And they tore it up. But they've never really gotten back there.
Although Steely Dan's music came to embody the cool late 70s L.A. sounds, they were New York through and through. On October 28th, the band's late co-founder Walter Becker, who died of cancer last September at the age of 67, is going to have a corner named after him in his native Queens.
Wow.
The corner of 112th and 72nd Drive in the Forest Hills section of the borough where he grew up will be co-named Walter Becker Way. It was reported the unveiling ceremony will feature special guests, remembrances from Becker's friends and colleagues, as well as very special experience holding Danfest. Special giveaways. Walter Becker's widow, Delia, said in a statement, "Walter's fans have decades of experience holding Danfest throughout the country, and they always find innovative and eclectic ways of celebrating, and it will be undoubtedly a fun and free gathering to honor and commemorate Walter as only they can."
One of my absolute favorite bands, Steely Dan.
Yep. And then finally, an 8-year-old Japanese girl is taking the internet by storm after nailing one of the toughest drum parts in the Led Zeppelin category or catalog. Steve, you and I saw this video a week or two ago.
It's crazy.
But she's recently won the praise from Robert Plant himself.
Yeah.
So I get sent kids playing drum parts videos all the time. And sometimes I watch them, sometimes I don't, because there's a ton of musical prodigies out there now that we have YouTube to see all this.
Right.
But this particular girl is exceptionally good for her age. And she nails it note for note. I've seen her play a couple of songs, and Bonham stuff is challenging. It's very, very it's number one, it's very, very tasty, and but he does some very specific things. The video posted on YouTube shows Yoyoka Soma furiously and accurately playing the late John Bonham's drum part in Good Times, Bad Times. She submitted the clip to the Hit Like a Girl drum contest, where she wrote in her entry that Bonham was one of her favorite drummers. "My dream is to be the best drummer in the world." She wrote in the description of the clip, "She began playing drums at 2 and performing publicly at 4. And now has more than 100 gigs under her belt." The video was posted earlier this year, but went viral last month, which caused Robert Plant to take notice.
Yeah.
So he was on an interview program, and he was saying how fantastic. He said, "The thing is, it's like falling off a log for her." But he was all smiles as he watched her play. He said, "That is technically a really difficult thing to do." And he said, "I think he'd," meaning John Bonham, "would be amazed. I think he'd be so chuffed. It's great."
I'm chuffed.
So Yuki Ogawa, also of Japan, won the Hit Like a Girl contest in the under 18 category. But this girl's pretty amazing. It's really, really fun to watch. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news for you this morning. What you got?
That's kind of breaking news. I mean, not like crazy breaking news, but I'll give one of these.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This is not breaking news.
No, it's not breaking news.
Tom Petty box set due out September 28th.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So in several months, you'll be able to buy it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This has been breaking news on the President Steve Show. So.
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Sorry? What was that?
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Now that's just at our yank's crank.
All right. And that's what I have in music news for you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us because we need to get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. You can't win it without that letter. We'll get it next. Stay there.
93.3
93 WMMR.
Online, on demand, and on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD and HD2. The MM Archives channel.
But I want to thank those guys from
Sobol.
Who came by so we could have the Akashiki Bowl. What are those things called?
Yeah.
Acai Bowl.
Yeah, and what
Akashiki.
The two Mikes brought him in. Mike Quinn is the co-founder and owner, and then Mike Prince was one of the guys that came in and took some pictures. So thank you to those two guys for dropping those off.
Acai.
Very good. I finished the whole thing. So it is a, especially for the summer, I think it's a nice.
I think I'm going to have that for my lunch.
Mm-hmm. I
put it in the fridge. Yeah.
Lunch. Yeah. It's my early lunch.
Are you making fun of me?
Just the way you said it, it was funny. No, sir. I am not.
I think I'm going to have that for lunch. But that was really good. Now we need to have whatever that other thing was that they're going to sell at Costco.
Alpaca salad.
The alpaca salad. I don't remember what it was called.
It's
El Patron?
El Pasto.
Al Lewis.
Al Pastor.
Al Pastor.
It's your salad, you dummy.
You big dummy. So anyhow, thank you.
It's your salad, you big... Herman, your salad's ready.
I guess we just need... Since I don't have anybody else to thank, we just need to do the letter of the day.
Honestly.
Should we do that?
It's like it's like sitting on your hands because you don't know what to do.
Yeah. I guess we'll do that. Casey... Wait, there he is.
Hey!
I wasn't sure if the Duke had arrived or not.
Oh, ye of such little faith.
I do have little faith. I apologize, sir. It's good to see you, man.
With good reason.
We're all set. I did our thank you. Should we do the letter?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
A is in active.
All right. Or Akai.
Or Akai.
Oh. Acai.
Acai.
Yeah. You cannot get it.
I'm never going to remember.
Acai.
We have a two-hour axe-throwing experience.
Or axe,
yeah, for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe-throwing venue, and that's Chopper's Hatchet House in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Visit choppershh.com, and we'll give that away on Friday, which is pretty cool. How's it hanging, man?
Very well. Yeah. All is well in the universe.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like when things are well in the universe.
Well, yeah.
It's a big place.
It's a big place, and for things to be well in the universe, it's good.
Nice.
And we'll have a fine program today to continue the goodness.
What's coming Wednesday. Up?
Well, we're going to have a really cool archive selection of Little Feet when they appeared on my show at the TLA in 1995, singing a really cool Little Feet song. So that's coming up today. We will have Workforce Blocks of Bon Jovi for Richie's birthday. Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers are playing in Camden this evening, so we'll combine a block of them. Yesterday was Ronnie James Dio's birthday, so we're going to do a block today on Pierre Standard Time in the Workforce Blocks. So all of that and more will happen as we continue.
I love it. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Oh, and we'll have a couple of the really cool winners that I didn't get yet on from the Foo Fighters event on Saturday. One of them, hysterical, that Jackie Bam Bam came up with this idea of how to give away tickets, and he tells the story for us.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Yeah, I was curious. You kind of teased that to us yesterday.
I meant to get to it yesterday, but we just ran out of time.
Okay. No, it's all good. Let me thank the sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And by Winter Airport Parking, the official parking of the Preston
Man,
and Steve Show.
Man, you've got some official
actually,
stuff.
Listen, we don't screw around. We make them official.
Am I the official following of the show?
Yeah, you are. The 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. That's what Winter Airport Parking is. We do love them. Tomorrow on our show, it'll be a Thursday, and we will have comedian Ron Funches in our studio.
Very cool.
Yeah, and we still got a lot of stuff to give away, so we'll make sure that we have your opportunity to win some goodies tomorrow. Oh, and a reminder, something I haven't even mentioned at all this week. Friday, we're doing a live broadcast.
Yes.
We're headed to the new headquarters of Subaru in Camden, New Jersey.
Cuckoo, ka-choo.
Subaru.
Wow.
And it, of course, is a payback for the wonderful job they did and have been doing year after year at the Camp Out for Hunger. They won the live broadcast.
And we spend the time showering them with love and having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I'm very curious to look at the new facility, which is awesome.
I hear it's fantastic. Yeah. So that'll be on Friday.
Wow.
That's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I'd like to thank the group here coming to our 2019 fiscal year operations meeting. One last note, please everyone get out your tablets and calendars, and please mark on your calendar. Is coming to Montage on July 31st.
Next message.
I want to send a huge I love you to the Preston and Steve show. I'm listening to 621's podcast because I'm behind when all of a sudden I hear Preston reading a shout out from my husband from April on my birthday, the 25th. It was like a second birthday. You guys rock.
Next message.
If you're going to the beach to watch television, then you need to readjust your vacation schedule. Watch TV at home, man. You go to the beach, you go to the beach, dumbass.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.